It'd be outrageous.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Tuesday, January 26, 2025. This is your award-winning Kid Von Nation Media Assassination, episode 1733.
This is No Agenda.
Busting up churches and schools and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA region number 6. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where it's supposed to rain, it's not raining. I don't know. I got nothing else to say. I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
I caught you unawares and unprepared. Ooh, I made another rhyme. Yeah.
No, I knocked over a drink.
Oh, no.
Just before we started, so I'm in the process of cleaning up the mess.
What was the drink?
The concoction that I make.
Oh, that thing. Oh, that was once tip of the day.
Yeah, the one time tip of the day. Luckily, the glass wasn't full of it because I had drunk most of it, but it's a gooey material that is not easy to get off.
No, no. And is it in the gear? Is it in the gear?
No. It fell over into the, it's a long story. It's not in the gear now.
It's the chia seeds. They're everywhere, people.
It did fall over where this is.
Oh, no.
It didn't really.
Hey, I want to congratulate Ashlyn Speed on her first Mazda race at Daytona. Did you see it?
Yeah, she posted it.
Yeah, and she was cautious and did not get entwined in the massive wreck they had. That was pretty amazing. You saw that big crash?
Yeah.
So she came 16 out of 34. She was cautious. Her first race, though. First race on Daytona. I could not be more proud of her. It's a good start. You watch. That young lady has a future. And
we have our autograph picture, so we're good to go.
I did not see No Agenda on the car anywhere.
Yeah,
I think that's...
You know what? Those days are over.
It's over. We'll be happy we can get a pit pass.
Yeah, you got that right. That's the way it is.
So, man, I constantly have the White House news page up these days. You know, just walk by the computer. Let me do a little refresh. Oh, wait, there's something new. It's amazing what has been happening in the past week.
Well, give us an update.
Well, I mean, have you seen the...
As I continue to clean up this mess.
Oh, okay. Well, while you continue to clean up the mess, I'm going to set you up for your 3x3. I believe we should definitely start with... replacement migration in the United States. Let's kick it off with this.
Some 1,500 active Marine and Army personnel have begun a new mission to bolster security at the U.S.
Hold on a second.
Yes?
That girl's voice sounds like the voice that we have on our clips that we're going to die. We're going to die, girl.
Does she really? Hold on a second. Let me see if I can match her. Let's see. Here we go.
We're all going to die! We're all going to die!
Some 1,500 active Marine and Army personnel have begun a new mission to bolster security at the U.S.-Mexico border. Among those deployed near San Diego, Marines from Camp Pendleton. These service members will be providing ground and air support to assist troops already deployed.
I should probably point out that the chopper sound you hear is the Osprey landing, which just gave it a perfect visual. Like, oh, there's that thing landing. This is all over now.
As well as customs and border protection, secure the border.
What?
By the way, I saw this clip and... are you telling me they're hauling people out of the country in Ospreys?
No, that's where they land the troops. They couldn't drive, you see. We had to make it look cool and spend a little extra. So instead of driving to the border, they flew them in the Ospreys. No, we're taking people out in C-130s.
Talk about, yeah, I know. That's what I noticed, but they kept showing these Osprey pics. So those things are expensive to operate.
Very, very expensive.
And they're dangerous.
I would say so.
They'll also be assisting in the construction of physical barriers. This marks the first batch deployed by the Department of Defense, following President Donald Trump's executive order to shut down all migrant entries at the southern border. Border security was one of Trump's campaign promises.
The American people have been waiting for such a time as this for our department.
That's the new girl? what's her name? The new press secretary girl?
Yeah, I can't remember her name yet.
Do you hear what she does there?
She sounds like another clip that we have.
She throws out an Esther Mordecai for such a time as this.
The American people have been waiting for such a time as this.
Oh, nice.
For our Department of Defense to actually take Homeland Security seriously. This is a number one priority of the American people, and the president is already delivering.
Military airlifts deporting illegal immigrants have also begun. Several flights carrying hundreds of Guatemalan migrants arrived in Guatemala Friday from Arizona and Texas. However, not everyone is welcoming this news.
I don't think we need troops in El Paso. I go back to saying we're a very safe community.
ICE raids have been taking place in many cities across the country. ICE posted on social media there have been 593 arrests and 449 detainers lodged. They also posted that targeted enforcement operations are planned arrests of known criminal aliens who threaten national security or public safety.
But this will not stand, say the Democrats everywhere.
Connecticut has never quit on people. We're never going to surrender, and I am never going to back down.
We are here to fight.
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 You come
fight.
For my people.
Fight.
You come through me.
Come through me.
Our five-member delegation is planning to push back, fight back.
Presidents in this country have broad powers, but they are not kings.
We will now do ICE's job for them on a whole number of fronts. We're not going to do federal immigration enforcement.
If there is any attack on the Garden State or on any of its communities from Washington, I will fight back with every fiber of my being.
I have one message for President Trump. I'll see you in court.
All right. All right. All right. Well, most of the
country
seems,
big talkers.
Oh, yeah. Most of the country seems pretty happy with the criminals. It's only removing criminals. I'm like, well, the ICE can go into schools and churches. These are sanctuaries. There is no evidence of even the word school or church in any of these executive orders. I'm not quite sure where they get that from.
And the numbers are not that massive.
No.
When they talk about mass immigrations, if you do the calculation, a Holman, it was on one of the shows. I like Holman because he's so funny.
Yeah,
we're going to arrest everybody.
Yeah, kill everybody. And, yeah.
Tough guy.
Yeah.
So they're doing like 300 to 500, let's say, a day, and they're going to do it for every day. Of course, everyone's all upset. Oh, every day, every day. That's 15,000 a month max.
Yeah.
Which is what? 100, it's less than 200,000 a year. There's millions we're talking about here, and they're going to get out to maybe get 200,000 out, maybe. Well,
but this is, as was campaigned on, these are the criminal elements. That's, you know, there's no evidence of them going after anyone else except for the criminals at the moment, which I think was always the intent. And there's, you know, the people run around, oh, he's going to deport 11 million. I don't think so.
He can't. At the numbers they're going, it would take them, well, if it, to say 200,000 a year to get to a million, it would take 10 years.
Yeah,
come on.
But at least they got something to yammer about.
Yammer
about. There's a couple of things. This, you know, this is screwing with some business models out there. You know, so it's a real problem for some people that President Trump has stopped the amnesty. We got the troops at the border keeping everybody back. And here come the complainers. And your No Agenda show knows why.
With the announcement that the Trump administration will allow ICE to arrest immigrants in places like schools and churches.
No, I don't think that's true yet. Okay.
We reached out to the Colorado Catholic Conference.
Where do you all stand on that issue?
So we have not seen the 2025 memo or what concerns will be around that. We know there might be First Amendment concerns with enforcement in religious institutions. But right now, there's not a lot of clarity. So for the Catholic Church, our bishops continue to maintain that we welcome the stranger as a tenant of our faith.
That was Brittany Vesley, the executive director of the Colorado Catholic Conference. Vesley went on to say that the bishops are concerned about community safety, including drugs coming across the U.S.-Mexico border and unaccompanied minors facing sexual abuse. Now, earlier this week, I talked to Jeanette Vizguerra, who crossed that same border and lived in a church for 3 years while seeking asylum. She said as churches and schools figure out what's next, as an advocate, she's creating a safe space plan of her own.
I have options for continue have some people in security spaces.
Ms. Guerra says for safety reasons, she can't publicly say what those safe spaces are.
So she kind of misnomered them. It is the Colorado Catholic Bishops Conference, part of the Catholic Charities. These guys do hundreds of millions of dollars a year in refugee resettlement programs.
Yep.
And so these
the huge money maker.
Massive. It is their entire business model is refugees and asylum seekers. So now they're going to come out and say, oh, well, she lived in a church for 3 years. By the way, she's still here. She's not gone. She still lives in the church or somewhere else. So it's like this is what it's come down to is now we're going to have to listen to all of this nonsense where it's just ruining your business model. There's that $1 billion company in Austin that President Obama himself sanctioned and opened. This is going to change something. And by the way, that's our $1 billion. You know, taxpayer $1 billion. This is where you go. Yeah, man.
Right. Scam.
It's a scam.
Rip off.
Now, have you heard about the
Jip.
Have you heard about the cute winter boots yet?
I've seen references to the cute winter boots.
Do you know
what? I have not gotten into any more details than that, so you're going to inform me about the cute winter boots.
Yes, and I'm sorry that I'm encroaching on your territory of the TikToks because it is rampant on TikTok.
Oh, now, you know, this was everyone out there listens to this show knows that eventually you cave. You always cave.
Well, I had to because I kept getting people sending me this, look at these crazies talking about cute winter boots. I'm like, I'm not interested in what they're doing on TikTok until I saw this guy.
You know, I'm starting to see this cute winter boots thing going around, and I started to pay attention to what this actually was. At first, I was like, has to do with the migrants. I can see that, but I really wasn't paying attention to it.
By the way, the guy's in his car, of course. That is your
everybody's in their car.
It's your TikTok studio of choice.
Just keep popping up and popping up. Then I started to realize that this is code being spoken by protesters. The anti-FA. Yeah, anti-FA is planning something. They are speaking in codes through this cute winter boots thing, how nice the winter boots are to have. They're talking about groups and organizations and organizing. Yeah, something big is about to happen with this cute winter boots thing. Look it up. Get on here. Go in that search bar and start paying attention to what these people are talking, what they're writing on the papers.
Okay, so I did that. I went to the search bar. I checked it out. And then, I see. What do you wear cute winter boots for? You wear cute winter boots when there's ice outside. See, this is the...
Oh, this is good. I'm glad you did this.
Yes, ice, as in immigration enforcement.
Ice.
And cute winter boots is what you need to protect yourself against ice, which is code by these passive politic practicing nut jobs for guns.
I'm seeing a lot of videos on cute winter boots, and there's sort of two streams of content on this. There are boots that you can use in the ice, and that's not something I know a ton about. The other stream of content in these videos is more about utilitarian boots and boots that maybe you never thought that you would ever buy in your life because that's just not your thing. And now you're seeing, given our environment, you know, all the things, you're probably going to need to invest in just a good, solid, you know, pair of winter boots. And that I can help you with because I came late to that sort of boot in my life.
She's in her car as well, obviously.
I only acquired those sorts of boots about 10 years ago. A lot of you know that I used to be the head of marketing for the Outdoor Channel, which is a hunting and fishing television network. I grew up in a family that didn't do a lot of that outdoor stuff. When I say a lot, not at all, right?
Right.
So I go and work at the Outdoor Channel for 8 years, and lo and behold, I get exposure to some of the biggest experts on cute winter boots in the country. And I opened my ears, closed my mouth, and listened to them. And they taught me a lot, especially about, you know, what kind of a pair of cute winter boots would you buy if you were a newcomer to, you know, to boots like that, right? You never thought you were going to buy boots like that. So got to learn a lot from them.
So So everyone's, oh yeah, I got my cute winter boots. Like, okay, you're all arming yourselves to protect people from ISIS.
This fact that the Democrat, you know, that the whole argument for arming for the Second Amendment is exactly what they're doing, but they've always been in denial.
Yeah, and
now, of course, you know, it's these same people, if they ever shot a gun, they'd probably yell "eek" and drop it,
eek,
and would fire again.
Yeah, exactly. So we do your 3x3. We might as well get into it.
Yeah, let's get these out of the way. Here we go.
Hold on, we got a jingle.
Experiment by JCB. Oh yeah, comparing stories from ABC, CBS, and NBC. The never-ending 3x3.
There we go. It's not a 3x3. It's a 4x4 with 3x3 in the title. Oh my goodness, what are we gonna do?
We're gonna start with the 4x4 at the bonus clip, which is the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Company. And this is these are all clips on the immigration crackdown.
Security video shown to a U.S. news outlet shows what appears to be the tail end of the raid. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, agents, with a man apparently handcuffed after being apprehended at a seafood depot in Newark, New Jersey yesterday. The latest signal President Donald Trump's long-promised deportations of undocumented migrants in this country are underway.
People were fingerprinted.
Ross Baraka, the mayor of Newark, a city that has pledged to protect migrants, says there was no warrant.
None of these people were rapists or murderers or criminals. We believe that were three people who they say were undocumented that they detained, but they also detained folks that were, in fact, citizens of this country. One person showed their military veteran identification and was still questioned anyway.
People are scared.
Amy Torres is executive director of the Alliance for Immigrant Justice.
And what we learned from folks that stayed behind was that ICE walked in like it was their empire's own conquered land. They were heavily armed. There was no prior announcement. They were blocking off entrances and exits. They were scrambling up delivery ramps. They were banging down bathroom doors to make sure no one was hiding inside.
Trump maintains the first raids will go after criminals, repeating that message today in North Carolina.
The murderers, these are people that have been as bad as you get, as bad as anybody you've seen.
Now, I have a question. This is interesting. As far back as I can recall as a young lad watching movies, even in my teens watching Cheech and Chong, but it was always kind of like INS. It was like, oh, no, it's INS. And the whole kitchen would desert, you know, everyone would be running away. Hasn't this been a thing in America, like immigration going after?
Not only a thing, even though it's not, you're right, INS, yeah. Immigration Naturalization Services. It was kind of a running gag. Yeah, and I say way before even Cheech and Chong, where they'd be, as somebody would say, I'm talking about in the 60s and 70s, yeah. Somebody say, hey, there's some immigration guys here, and then the whole crew would scatter.
It would scatter, exactly.
It was always been a running gag, and that gag disappeared from the, and I think everyone's shocked by it, because that gag, which was always part of the public domain, disappeared, I guess, during the Obama administration. And then all these youngins have been brought up never knowing this joke.
The youngins.
The youngins.
The youngins don't know their comedic history. We're full of it. We're full of comedic history about rounding people up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure about the validity of that report because it's criminals. I've only seen criminals being taken in.
Oh, these guys are these local yokels think that they're still on the right side of history, and they're showboating, and they're making a big fuss, and they're going to get themselves in their tit in a ringer after this is over with.
Okay. Onward with the 3x3.
Well, let's see. We should probably go to CBS next.
At a U.S. Army airfield in El Paso, exclusive video obtained by CBS News shows shackled detainees boarding a military cargo plane, one of two C-17s to depart the southern border carrying migrants, and landing in Guatemala Friday morning.
Transportation's going very well. We're getting the bad, hard criminals out.
The White House calls it the official start of their long-promised mass deportation campaign. posting video of Marines operating at the southern border. This week, the Pentagon announced the deployment of 1,500 service members to assist U.S. Border Patrol. Across the country, immigration agents arrested 538 undocumented migrants yesterday.
They always leave out the criminal part, John. Have you noticed that? They don't say criminal, undocumented, illegal alien immigrants. It's always just undocumented.
No, of course not. That tops the average of 312 arrests per day during the Biden administration.
What? We're only doing 200 plus?
God, that makes it even worse.
Wow.
And it includes 373 alleged criminal detainees. In Newark, ICE agents raided a business without a warrant.
Oh, no.
We can't just let this happen and not say anything.
Newark's mayor slammed the operation.
We believe that there were three people who they say were undocumented that they detained, but they also detained folks that were, in fact, citizens of this country.
And we've just learned there was another deportation flight, a military aircraft bound to Mexico, planned this week, but it was denied access to land. A U.S. official tells CBS News that flight never took off.
Hmm. I don't know about that.
I like the way they say they were detained. There were some guys, they weren't shipped out, but they were, but they make it sound like these guys, the American citizens, were shipped out when they were just detained. By detained, it means you raided the whole place. Everybody had to stop and show their ID. You're being detained right there. You get detained when you get pulled over by a cop for speeding. You're being detained.
But the funny thing is, I love that report because it says, we're doing 300 a day. No one was complaining about that.
No, of course not. That was because it was Democrats.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
The media has really lost the plot.
Well, this is...
lost it. They've never had it. So here we go with ABC. And now we're going to get to the good ones. Martha Radnitz, for starters.
Tonight, for the first time, U.S. military aircraft flying undocumented migrants out of the country as President Donald Trump launches his deportation campaign.
They all shared the script, didn't they? Undocumented migrants. Okay. And I think it was NPR who shared with the world that was now their new style guide, right?
We had the clip, yes.
Yeah, I think undocumented.
You can't say anything but something like that.
Yeah.
The White House releasing these pictures, dozens of migrants in chains boarding C-17 aircraft. The flight's landing in Guatemala, carrying roughly 160 people, men and women.
Deportation's going very well.
Today, the Trump administration's new border czar, Tom Homan, telling me it's only the beginning, and he has a stark warning to anyone who's in the country illegally.
So is this what we will see every single day, ending in what the president has promised is millions and millions being deported?
Yes. But you can see the number steadily increase, the number of arrests nationwide as we open up the aperture. Right now it's concentrating public safety threats, national security threats. That's a smaller population. If you're in the country legally, you got a problem. And that's why I'm hoping those who are in the country illegally who have not been ordered removed by the federal judge should leave.
Homan was very clear that those committing violent crimes will be deported first and acknowledges that the show of force, these strong warnings to all undocumented immigrants, are meant to send a message that they should self-deport, since it would take a very long time and massive amounts of manpower and money to deport an estimated 11 million undocumented immigrants.
Okay. Yeah, this is the good stuff.
11 million.
Yeah, 11, now they, 11, you, 11
now million. They're admitting there's that many.
Yeah, all of a sudden. Yeah, 11 million. We know the number.
All right, so we go to the final one. This is Brian Roberts, the Comcast CEO's fabulous NBC Trump-hating network.
Tonight, a dramatic escalation of President Trump's illegal immigration crackdown. The first of 1,500 extra troops touching down in El Paso, Texas, to support border security. And for the first time, migrants being deported not on chartered flights like before, but on military aircraft. Two flights landing this morning in Guatemala.
We're getting the bad, hard criminals out. These are murderers. These are people that have been as bad as you get.
After a record 10 million illegal border crossings over the past 4 years, ICE now ramping up roundups of undocumented immigrants, making 538 arrests yesterday across the country, doubling its daily average in September. Cities including San Francisco, Salt Lake City, and Atlanta. In Newark, New Jersey, this surveillance video appears to show ICE agents making arrests. City officials and immigrant advocates say ICE agents raided this local business, arresting three undocumented immigrants and briefly detaining an American citizen, a military veteran, while they asked him for documentation.
Do you plan to use city resources to impede ICE?
We're not going to participate in what we think is unlawful.
Newark's Democratic Mayor Ross Baraka telling us late today there were two more operations in his city where more than a third of the population was born outside the U.S.
Meantime, Gabe, you have some new reporting about Mexico's role in all this.
Yes, Lester, two U.S. defense officials tell NBC News that Mexico denied access to a U.S. military deportation plane on Thursday. As we mentioned, two planes landed in Guatemala today.
Yeah. I saw the president also had a chat with Bukele from El Salvador. They had a nice talk, talked about the criminals.
Yeah. I have to play this additional clip here. This is from Al Jazeera.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the Deportation Inc. Complaints that this was not reported. I'm surprised that our people didn't report it this way, too. But play this clip.
The Brazilian government says it's outraged after dozens of migrants deported by the U.S. arrived in handcuffs. Brazil ordered U.S. officials to immediately remove the restraints. The justice minister called it a flagrant disregard for the rights of Brazilian citizens. The flight carried around 80 men, women, and children. State officials distributed meals and checked on their well-being.
Yeah.
So they sent the 80 guys. Any of these flights, they're going to cuff the guys because if they're the criminals, you don't want some criminals roaming around the plane causing havoc.
No, it's an outrage. It's an outrage.
But so they sent these guys back to Brazil, which was not reported in any of our other media.
No, they only had Guatemala.
And so the Brazilian guys got bent out of shape about it.
What's interesting is that France is cracking down on immigration. Don't hear much about that. Here's how France 24 reports on their tightening of immigration.
France is tightening its policies on undocumented migrants.
Notice the same words. It's undocumented migrants. And these are probably not even criminals.
France is tightening its policies on undocumented migrants. On Friday, French Interior Minister Bruno Retailleau circulated an official memo to departmental and regional officials, which will restrict their capacity to grant them legal status. The new directive on exceptional admissions of residents will reverse guidelines implemented in 2012 by former Minister Manuel Valls, which gave prefectures a certain margin in dealing with the status of migrants on a case-by-case basis.
If we are too open to offering possibilities to grant legal status to migrants, what will be compromised, which is already happening, is integration or assimilation. It's a numbers game.
Retailleau set out a number of criteria for migrants seeking legal status.
Now listen to this.
Most notably, his official memo increases the residency requirement in the country from 5 to 7 years. Only workers in key sectors will be granted legal residency status, and their mastery of the French language must be proved by a French diploma or a language certification. Undocumented immigrants who, quote, pose a threat to the public order, who practice polygamy, or are subject to an obligation to leave France won't be granted legal status in the country.
Polygamy? If you practice polygamy?
Yeah, this is a targeting the Muslim population practices polygamy.
Yes. Imagine President Trump saying that.
It would be outrageous. It would be outrageous.
It would be outrageous. Everyone would be losing Trump. Their crap over it. But France, the French are like, oui. All right, we're going to stay in Europe. I have some very, very short little snippets from Queen Ursula, who is very, very clear about everything going on in the world, and Trump has just ruined everything, and we got to do something. We got to work together.
But it is important that we balance the imperative to safeguard our security against our opportunity to innovate and enhance our prosperity.
Right.
In this spirit, we will need to work together to avoid a global race to the bottom, because it is in no one's interest to break the bonds of the global economy. Rather, we need to modernize the rules to sustain our ability to produce mutual gain for our citizens.
We have to modernize the rules. So she's trying to desperately hold on to globalism while it's crumbling underneath her feet.
There was an interesting, I don't think I clipped it, but Davis Hanson.
Tommy Smothers.
was on.
Victor Davis Hanson, you mean?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
He had an interesting point to me. He said that the EU is bitching about the Davos thing.
Yeah.
And he said that 25 years ago, the entire part of Europe that became what's today's EU had the exact same GDP as the United States. And now, after all these years of globalism, 25 years later, their GDP is about half of what ours
is. Is that really true? I didn't know that. I thought they were
about equal.
That
either when I'm listening to it. And he's not a guy who makes these kinds of mistakes. He's very, you know, he's a bean counter at heart.
Mm.
So, and he says, and the salaries are 60% of ours. It's just that this whole scheme is falling apart. And when she says race to the bottom, it makes some sense because that's what they're doing.
Their own race to the bottom.
Yeah.
So she's now going to explain, and this is the exact opposite. It's wonderful to see. We are drill, baby, drill, although oil baron Paul keeps telling me, bro, we're not drilling and we're not drilling more. He's now up to $20 million for R&D for each well that he drills, up from $16 million. He says, we're not going to be drilling a lot more. But okay, that's our policy, is drill, baby, drill. In Europe, here's Queen Ursula.
In the last 25 years, Europe has relied on the rising tide of global trade to drive its growth. It has relied on cheap energy from Russia.
Yeah, it was good.
And Europe has too often outsourced its own security. But those days are gone.
They're gone.
You're screwed.
So she's not going to outsource her security to us. That's what she's saying. These days
which
are
is
gone.
Good for us.
Good for us. Now, of course, the days of cheap Russian energy are gone. You could bring them right back if you wanted
to.
Yeah,
all you do is
just do a deal.
The Russians to go ahead.
Do a deal. No. But we have to explain this as climate change.
The coming years will be vital, well beyond Europe. All continents will have to speed up the transition towards net zero.
Net zero.
And deal with the growing burden of climate change. Its impact is impossible to ignore.
The impact of what? Climate change or net zero? I think net zero, that impact will be impossible to ignore. But she's got solutions. Here's what we're going
to
do.
We will have to invest in next generation clean energy technologies like fusion, enhanced geothermal.
Oh,
and
please.
I knew you were going
to. Oh, man.
Fusion. Here comes the old fusion. Here comes the old fusion again. Pie in the sky.
Energy technologies like fusion, enhanced geothermal, and solid state batteries.
Solid state batteries. What is this nonsense?
What is she talking about?
Lead acid?
Okay, fusion. Let's start with that.
Let's start with fusion.
That's bull crap. They can't do it. No one's been able to do this, and they can't. Of course, the real goal is cold fusion, where you don't have to even worry about the heat.
Yeah.
But they can't seem to get that to work. So then this has been worked on forever, and everyone knows it would be great if it ever worked, but they can't get it to work. It's just a money loser. And then... So I don't know what she's talking about. Battery technology is old. It's from the 1800s. Nothing's really changed. They've only tweaked it.
Well, let's look
it
up.
So that's a loser.
What
was the other one?
Solid state batteries. What are solid state batteries?
That's either capacitors, you know, the old capacitor batteries.
They're known as SSBs. Solid electrolyte for ionic conduction between the electrodes as opposed to the liquid or gel polymer electrodes found in traditional batteries.
Yeah, okay.
You know, what was this? You know, I'm going to get email for you. You don't know, Dvorak's all wrong. There's all kinds of
stuff. Yeah, if it was any good, they'd already be implemented. So what is the, what was the second one? She had the fusion, which is just bogus.
Let's listen.
Energy technologies like fusion, enhanced geothermal.
Enhanced geothermal.
Okay, so that you know, Iceland is largely a geothermal hotspot, and it's the whole country is run by the volcano they're sitting on top of.
What is enhanced?
I guess you have to drill a little deeper. I don't know. You drill a deep hole until you hit the molten rock in the middle of the earth, and you I have no idea what how you enhance it. You either got it or you don't. And Europe doesn't have that.
Not yet. They need to invest.
Europe hasn't got oil. They haven't got the coal has been dug out of. I mean, England.
England has it. England
has a lot of coal.
Yeah.
But the main part of Europe has very little. I mean, there's some fracking opportunities, and they have a lot of minerals and stuff. They need this better to get their stuff from outside. They're nuts. And then when they do have something like standard nuclear, like the Germans have, and then you shut it down. That's nuts. These people are out of control.
Yeah,
they're just trying to. I think they want to get themselves into another. War between the states.
I didn't clip it, but I watched President Trump's speech to the Davos crowd, and the question and answer session was quite entertaining, quite good. And he said, hey, if you build a factory plant here, we'll let you put you won't have to be on the grid. You can build your power plant right next to your factory. You can use gas, beautiful, cheap gas. And if you want, if you need a backup, you can use our clean coal.
Beautiful. Oh, I didn't hear clean that. I thought I heard the whole thing, but I guess I missed that.
Yeah, it was during that. It might have been during Q&A.
Clean coal.
Yeah. Well, we have clean coal.
Yeah, we do have clean. We have anthracite. It's a very clean coal.
Clean coal is beautiful.
And then if you have a right scrubbing mechanisms, the things that can clean out the effluent, it's dynamite.
Yeah. So, but think about that versus all this enhanced germal thermics and fusion. And what else is she have? And the solid state batteries.
And solid state batteries. We must also.
And why is solid state? Well, and let's start with this before you get your notes from the angry producers that we have out there listening to this show, nitpicking what we have to say.
Yeah.
Why are solid state batteries any better than any other battery?
If they were any better, they'd be in the Teslas today, I'm sure. Wouldn't you think?
I would totally think.
And solid state batteries. We must also mobilize more private capital to modernize our electricity grids and storage infrastructure.
Yeah, we need money.
They can't do that. They don't know how to do that part.
And then she did something very interesting because she dropped it, which means it's in play. Of course, we've got AI. Everyone's got to have some AI. Got to have some AI. And she dropped the Q word.
From AI to clean tech. From quantum to space, from the Arctic to the South China Sea, the race is on.
Yeah, baby. This brings me to the news about AI. Everyone's talking about it now. Oh, boy. They're going to have to crank up the quantum. Because we need some pie in the sky thing that can suck up all the money that's floating out there. It's like $150 billion. In the U.S. markets alone, just ready to invest in something stupid like quantum, because the AI game appears to be over. I go to CNBC.
First, we were reeling from the success of China's AI upstart DeepSeek. Now TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, has just entered the AI race in a big way, escalating competition between the U.S. and China. Deirdre Bosa has more in today's Tech Check. Deirdre?
Kelly, I feel a little bit like a broken record this week, but the momentum from Chinese AI players has been unrelenting. ByteDance, as you mentioned, now claims that its model, Duobao 1.5 Pro, outperforms OpenAI's latest reasoning model products. And just days before you mentioned this, an open source model out of Chinese AI lab DeepSeek was released that rivals OpenAI's O1 on several third-party performance benchmarks.
I love it.
But those two have something else besides performance in common. The that makes it starkly different than our American ones, and that is cost. They were many times cheaper to build and are many times cheaper to access. So developers are really interested in these models. Big American players, too, at Davos are taking note. Each of them, extremely influential CEOs working in AI, they mentioned DeepSeek by name. And so we've been digging into this lab that's very mysterious, and also the breakthroughs that has everyone talking. We'll be publishing our long-form tech check take tomorrow morning, diving into what it all means. So don't miss that, Kelly.
So diving into all it all, what does it all mean? What is the big difference? What is the real advantage? What is really happening?
So going back to what TikTok is up to, what's most significant about it, do you think?
The cost. I mean, these models coming out of China are just built at a fraction of the price. When you think about OpenAI that's spending $5 billion a year, burning through billions of dollars a year, these models, the DeepSeek one, for example, they say they built it for less than $6 million. ByteDance as well. You know, it shows that it was built and you can access it at much, much lower prices. So this really turns on sort of this truth that we have thought about generative AI for the last few years, that you need hundreds of millions of dollars to develop bigger and better models. What the Chinese labs and companies are doing is they're going straight to the frontier. They're building with sort of infrastructure and outputs that are already out there, built in many cases by American companies and startups, and they're improving on it. They're innovating on it and producing producing models that are just as good in some cases at a fraction of the cost.
So maybe we don't need to buy the nuclear stocks after all. Maybe we don't need a million GPUs down in Abilene.
It's a good question.
Interesting.
It does raise a lot of questions, even about Project Stargate, right? What kind of infrastructure are we building here?
Right.
Is it for pre-training, like we've had for the last 2 years, or is it for reasoning and inference, which is a different cost proposition?
Exactly, and you almost wonder if that's why Microsoft is evolving its partnership with OpenAI.
Yeah, Microsoft may be the last to laugh.
They're throwing out nothing. There's no proof of anything that they said.
No, the models.
It's all black. It's like you and I come up with an AI model that's one tenth the cost. It's one tenth the cost, Adam. We've got it at one tenth the cost. Tell CNBC. Oh, they've got it at one tenth the cost.
The test doesn't mean you did it. The tests have actually been done. The models have already been released. People are testing it, and they're seeing that the training goes much faster, lower cost.
Yes, because they're doing. There's a bunch of tricks that they're up to.
And fine. All right. Please.
They're up to tricks A and B. They can't get the NVIDIA chips. So they got to come up with some way of doing this without going broke. This is bull crap.
Hold on a second. Sam Altman on the phone for you. Thanks, John. Thanks. You're keeping my stocks going. This is good. Thank you very much. Regardless, I'm keeping my eye on it. I see the pivot to quantum coming. They're going to start talking about it.
That's the thing. That's the problem there.
What do you mean?
You can't pivot to quantum because quantum is bull crap.
Oh, but they're going to. Yes, of course it's bull crap. So was pets.com at the time. Yes, this is the bubble. This is the bubble. The pivot to quantum is coming. Doesn't matter. Let's see what this means to consumers down on the ground, you and me in the home. What does all this incredible investment AI result in? For that, we only have to go to CES 2025, which you used to cover. I've been to it. I don't think either of us has been in over a decade or longer.
Well, since COVID, that's for sure.
Or longer. Let's get a report from KTLA's Rich on Tech.
CES 2025, where the tech world descends upon Las Vegas. This year, over 4,000 exhibitors and over 130,000 attendees expected.
Everything must be there. All the good stuff, all the wonderful enhancements and inventions.
To check out innovations in AI, smart home, cars, and of course, TVs. But big screens are also getting more personal, thanks to augmented reality glasses like the X-Real 1.
They are connected to my phone. Oh, wow.
Plug them into your phone or computer, and suddenly
I can see my phone screen now hovering in space.
Nice.
Mobility. I think people
hold on,
want
to stop the clip. I saw this technology, probably in the 80s.
You could see your phone screen hovering in space from your StarTAC?
Well, you saw it. No, these glasses that could do this. Yeah. It was like, and by the way, really hard on the eyes. You don't notice it at first.
Hard on the eyes, by the way, to look at the person wearing them. It's like you're wearing like big jam pot bottoms.
It's bad every which way.
I can see my phone screen now hovering in space.
Mobility. I think people want it to.
Hold on a second. Yeah. Why don't you just use the phone? You got your phone in your hand, and now you can see the phone screen hovering in space?
Yes.
What's the point? You got the phone in your hand. What do you need it hovering in space for?
So you can go, oh, wow.
I mean...
Phones in space.
Hovering in space.
Mobility. I think people want to take their entertainment, their work on the go.
On the go, John. It's on the go, which it already is, but now it's on your head. It's got to be an improvement.
Entertainment, their work on the go. Samsung teaming up with the Museum of Modern Art to provide high-quality artwork to its frame TVs.
No, haven't seen that before.
Oh, I've never heard of such a thing.
Which look like a print when not in use. Samsung promoting a vision of AI for all.
You're going to be able to just live your life and let the technology take care of that back-end work for you.
All our back-end work, they're going to do the spreadsheet for us. Fire Jay! It's done. It's done. The technology is going to do the back-end work for us.
It's going to just do it for you. Yes.
So you feel empowered by that technology rather than overwhelmed.
And we'll feel empowered.
LG wants AI to be more personal for users.
We're looking at it as affectionate intelligence. And affectionate intelligence means if we're affectionate, we care.
So I think whenever you start changing the name of a new technology from artificial to affectionate, I think they're in trouble.
Musician and entrepreneur Will I Am on hand to talk about his new LG X-Boom speakers.
He's got speakers with AI,
which are tuned for balance and warm sound. They also have an AI DJ to mix personalized music.
CES 2025 proves once again that this is the must-see show for any tech lover.
No, I don't think so. That is not not the tech lover in me. Oh boy. I did run across, just to wrap this segment up, I ran across a very interesting Freakonomics episode with computer scientist Ben Zhao. He's an AI skeptic, but he has some tips. This is an early tip of the day for artists out there, how to help bring AI to its knees to create more AI slop with two tools, which he will mention by name.
So Zhao's solution was to poison the system that was causing this trouble.
Poison is sort of a technical term in the research community. Basically, it means manipulating training data in such a way to get AI models to do something perhaps unexpected, perhaps more to your goals than the original trainers intended to.
They came up with two poisoning tools, one called Glaze, the other, Nightshade.
Glaze is all about making it harder to target and mimic individual artists. Nightshade is a little bit more far-reaching. Its goal is primarily to make training on internet scrape data more expensive than it is now. Perhaps more expensive than actually licensing legitimate data, which ultimately is our hope that this would push some of these AI companies to seek out legitimate licensing deals with artists so that they can properly be compensated.
Glaze and Nightshade. And so to the human eye, there's no difference, but it does something with the image itself, and it messes up the AI.
What?
AI poisoning. Oh, this very intricate.
This sounds like bull crap. Yeah,
everything's bull crap to you, since it's not.
Today's theme.
Bull crap. No, it's proven to work. It makes it
what,
very...
What, I go to one of these systems and I download something and tell it to make it look like a Monet and it gives me some product. What has these other things got to do with it?
So that if you put your artwork out there, when the AI goes to ingest that and steal your soul, it will either not be able to ingest
I got my artwork just posted someplace. How does Glaze fit into the picture? Do I have to put my artwork through Glaze and then post it that way?
Yes, correct.
So it's like a watermarking system.
No, it's not. It's much...
No, but it's the same idea. You embed code.
The point
into the artwork, and that embedded code is like, it's just, I don't see the difference between that and the watermark.
It's better.
The watermark's used for identification, but in this case, it's used to screw up the AI model.
Yes.
And so everyone has to do that. How does this change? Picasso's not going to do that. Okay. He's dead.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry I even brought it up with you, Boomer.
No, I'm glad you brought it up because it just shows you the futility of trying to put a stop to it with these cheap tricks.
It's going to... I'm all for poisoning AI. I just like how it sounds. I like the whole idea. I like being a radical.
You're nuts.
Poison the AI. Yes, I'm all for poisoning the AI.
Why?
Because I can't take the emails anymore.
What's the emails telling you?
Oh, the artists, they're crying.
I don't get any of these emails. I think you're imagining this. You must be dreaming it.
So not only is everything I play wrong and stupid and not true.
No, it's bull crap.
Now I'm telling
you, it's the theme. You just have to put up with it.
Can you tell donations were low, everybody? John is in one of those moods. Tina even said to me, oh, John will be something to deal with today. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I heard of predictive programming. AI.
Well,
so, okay, well, good luck with this guy. This guy's got, why does he hate AI so much? I mean, there's potential here.
Why do I hate AI so much? I mean, why? I don't like it. I think it's dumb. I think it's expensive, stupid, and it just does images and sound. And we have an end of show mix, which is okay. Done by AI, but it's not, you know, I did a test because one of the artists was like,
okay, which artist was this?
I'm not going to tell you that. No. It's between me and the artist. And the artist says to me, you know, this sucks and blah, blah. And I said, you know, it's a tool and it still works for now until we poison it, but it's a tool. And it says no way that AI can create an image by itself without the soul of the artist going into it. Now, that may go in the form of a prompt. I mean, when we got graphics generation programs and...
Actually, I want to stop you because JC, who my son who's into this stuff, he has an interest. He remarks pretty much the same way you just did, which is it can't just dream something up.
And
it can't actually create, which means it's not really AI. There's no artist, there's no intelligence involved.
Thank you.
So you're complaining about just a robotic function.
No. But I'm with you. I'm with JC. What I'm saying to the artist is you're wrong. You are wrong because
the artist.
And I had an example, which I have the output for. I said I took the entire transcript of episode 1732. So the AI had the entire show. They know what we talked about. They know what we laughed about. They knew all the things of all the topics and everything. The AI had it all.
It, by the way. Go on.
I don't know what the pronoun is. Is AI?
It. AI is an it.
Okay, it's an it. And I said, in fact, if you go to crapart.noagendanotes.com. Okay.
Crap art.
Yes, crap art.
This is one of your new
crap art. Go to it. It's HTTP, by the way, not HTTPS. And I said, this is the prompt given to ChatGPT using this transcript of the No Agenda podcast. And there's the link. Create an image that displays in a humorous, topical way something that will grab.
This is interesting what you did. Let me tell you why.
Let me finish the sentence. Create an image that displays in a humorous, topical way something that will grab people's attention and entice them to listen to the episode. And then the result came back, and I will read it first. Here's the humorous and attention-grabbing illustration inspired by the No Agenda podcast, episode 1732. It combines satire, bold visuals, and a playful approach to the themes mentioned in the episode. Let me know if you need any adjustments. Now, you tell me, would we choose that art?
Oh, I have to go look at it.
I can't believe everyone's looking at it.
But me.
But you.
Crap AI?
No, crapart.noagendanotes.com.
Oh, brother, crap.
One art. Word, crapart.noagendanotes.com.
Dot com. Oh, AI cannot do what ours is doing. Here's the artwork. This is the, you're talking about the army of this thing?
That's what it produced, based on the entire knowledge of the entire episode.
Well, you made your point.
Well, just tell people what, would we ever choose this?
This is a disaster.
Thank you. Thank you. A disaster. Because there is no intelligence, there's no humor, there's no soul.
Well, that's the interesting thing. That's what I was going to say before you had to finish the sentence, which was, when you get professional spot artists, the guys who do these illustrations for newspapers and magazines and every place in between, we used to do this at PC Magazine. Mac User used to always have a piece of spot art for my column that was in the back of the I made a lot of friends with these artists because I always begged them to get the originals, and I ended up with a lot of art. And they'd read the article, and then something that would dawn on them that would be a cute illustration, and that's what a spot artist is good at. You'd read the article, and then you'd say, you know, I think this would be, and they'd draw some piece, little art piece that somehow reflected the article. Very difficult to do. In this instance, what you've done is try to recreate that system, which is the way humans operate, and the AI failed
miserably.
Bigly.
Miserably, bigly, yes. I mean, just look at it.
It's a complete disaster, as a matter of fact.
It's a disaster. Exactly.
So people should go to this website that you have that you can rewind. I'm not going to do it again.
So my point is that when I asked it, I didn't say make it like this, do it like that. That comes from
the human soul. No, you just had to do an original piece of art.
Yeah, based upon what it heard in the episode. So a human can listen to our episode or could even read through the transcript and could go, oh, I know what I'm going to do. And they come up with ideas. That's intelligence. That's the human psyche. It's in your DNA. That's the kind of stuff that AI cannot do. So get to it, hop to it before it's all poisoned. You can still make cool stuff. So I'm on your side.
So you were assuaging the artist.
Yes.
This part was part of your long-term scheme to get the artist to calm down.
Yes.
And just use the tool until it craps out.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
I can't call you out on that.
No. Well, finally, I got one.
Better material.
56 minutes in, I've got one thing you agree with. Well, then let me spin you around and I'll be done for a moment. As I predicted, or as I said, what would needed to happen was, in order for crypto to take off in the United States, the SEC had to change their SAB 121 regulation, and they did. They rescinded SAB 121, now permitting banks to custody crypto, specifically Bitcoin, and it not be a liability on their balance sheet. So they can hold it now. They can be an asset holder for customers. And this is all in part thanks to the new crypto czar, crypto and AI czar from the All In podcast. A podcaster is a crypto czar in the administration, David Sacks. And I've been waiting to figure out what they're going to do with stablecoin, and I think I have it figured out.
So this executive order bans agencies from developing a central bank digital currency. Why is that?
Well, CBDCs are a real threat to freedom and liberty. What you're talking about there is moving to a central bank digital currency that would be run out of Washington by the Fed and would basically gradually replace cash and catalog everybody's transactions. And it could lead to new laws and dictates about how people spend their money. So I think people are very concerned that that could be an Orwellian path to go down. No one wants to go down that path. And I think we can create stable coins, basically digital dollars, without doing that. So the executive order is really clear. We want to create a regulatory framework for stable coins, but we don't want to go down the path of CBDCs.
But a digital currency for a government could be competition to Bitcoin. Did that play into that decision?
Well, I mean, any government can create a stable coin. So, but I think the U.S. Dollar is already the world's reserve currency. So I'm not really worried about competition there. I just want to extend, or I believe that what we should be doing is extending the dollar's dominance into digital areas, extended online. And I think that could actually create trillions of dollars of demand for U.S. treasuries. It could be really useful to us in basically supporting our debt and also bringing down long-term interest rates.
So I don't know about long-term interest rates and debt. But I figured it out. The regulations, or the way the executive order reads, is anybody can start a company and create stablecoin, which is typically a stablecoin. I don't know of any others. Is pegged to the dollar one-to-one. So here's how it works. You buy a U.S. Treasury, which is debt, and you, let's just say you buy $1 Treasury, doesn't exist, but a $1 Treasury. So you've spent your dollar, you now hold the Treasury, and because you have that $1 Treasury, you can create a $1 stablecoin. You get your dollar back. It's genius. And then flood the world with American dollars in the form of stablecoins.
This will be interesting because it'll result in the biggest depression we've ever seen. But this, we'll see how
it might. It might. I'm not going to argue with you on that. But now I understand what they're doing. It's like, oh,
well, they got to do something about this debt.
Well, yeah.
You know, that at this point, they can't even do the $1 trillion coin because they need to make 30 of them.
37 trillion of them.
37 coins. It's like, wait a minute.
I just thought, wow, that is an amazing trick.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to do something, so they might as well give this a shot.
Yeah. All right. Well, keep our eyes on it. And of course, you could, because Tether, the biggest stable coin holder, which I think they're the ones that are in cahoots with, who's the guy, Cantor Fitzgerald. I believe that they're also using Bitcoin to back their stable coin. Which can't be a one for one. They have to do it like 50% or something for the fluctuation. But we'll see. We'll see. But the stable coin is how the American dollar is going to just flood the world. Everyone's going to be using it. And that's what Trump has always wanted. He always wants to keep the dollar. It's just it'll be the stable coin. 4 more years, baby. Then we're out, you and me. And we're done. There'll be nothing left. There'll be nothing left. All right, you're up. What you got?
Okay, well, we got a bunch of stuff. The foreign stuff. We also talk about Hegseth because through.
Let's do Hegseth.
Let's do the rundown from NPR for starters. And this is called, this is three clips are called Trump Rundown Firing Hegseth NPR.
Okay.
Pete Hegseth was confirmed as Secretary of Defense last night.
Rish.
A squeaker of a vote. Just part of a lightning round that was the first week.
I love it. The squeaker of a vote. The speaker. Solve the squeaker.
You actually have his voice down pretty well.
Thank you.
The new Trump administration.
A tide of change is sweeping the country. Sunlight is pouring over the entire world.
So this is January 6th. These are the hostages. Approximately 1,500 for a pardon.
Yes.
Full pardon.
I'll also be signing an executive order to begin the process of fundamentally reforming and overhauling FEMA, or maybe getting rid of FEMA. I think, frankly, FEMA's not good.
It's great.
President Trump wielded his Sharpie to sign pardons and commutations for supporters who participated in the riot at the U.S. Capitol 4 years ago and a profusion of executive orders.
Profusion?
Declared an
Hold on. What is a profusion? What is a profusion?
Profusion.
Profusion.
Bunch.
A bunch? Why does he just say a bunch?
NPR, you got a profusion's a good word.
Profusion.
Riot at the U.S. Capitol 4 years ago and a profusion of executive orders.
Profusion.
Declared a national emergency on the...
No wonder they have no listeners. They don't understand what they're saying.
Southern border. Pledged to end birthright citizenship. And last night, according to a number of media sources, fired at least a dozen inspector generals of major federal agencies.
Hold on. One of our producers made an excellent point. They're all saying inspector generals. It's inspectors general. I thought that was very astute. Make it sound like they're generals.
These guys are. NPR says 12. The Washington National, I think it was the Washington Post, said 15, but there's actually 17. Yes. Nobody gets these numbers right. I mean, how hard can it be?
It's inspectors general, not inspector generals.
According to a number of media sources, fired at least a dozen inspector generals of major federal agencies.
If you're going to say profusion, you should at least say inspector general.
And here's Ron Elving joins us. Ron, thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you, Scott.
What do we know about last night's firings?
The inspector general position is a kind of in-house watchdog in federal agencies, in-house but independent. It's been a source of reform and oversight, but also a source of frustration because of their independence and uncertainty as to whom they answer to. Trump sent firing notices to a dozen of these last night, some of whom are people he himself appointed in his first term.
Oh.
And it's unclear what the legal effect of this will be. As the law says, Congress has to get 30 days notice in advance, and obviously that didn't happen.
Well, how do you know? How do you know he didn't give 30 days notice? We don't know.
That's what everyone says.
Inspector Gadget, you're fired. Done.
So, okay, I'm over with you. I can't think of anything.
Number two.
Vice President Vance had to cast the tie-breaking vote to confirm Pete Hegseth as defense secretary last night. Republican Senator Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski voted no. So did Mitch McConnell, former Republican leader. What's the significance?
Murkowski and Collins were expected, and there were plenty of reasons for relatively centrist Republicans to be unhappy with Hegseth. His personal problems, of course, but also his views on women and opposition to diversity in general in the Defense Department and the Army and Navy and so on. But McConnell was a surprise. He is no longer the party leader in the Republican Party in the Senate. He is serving out his last term as a regular member. So in that role, he can, to some degree, be his own man. And last night, we saw that included the desire to resist pressure from Trump when he thought Trump had made a bad choice.
What do you think we're seeing over these last few days?
Wouldn't call it Trump 2 or Trump 2.0. It's more like Trump 1. More like Trump being the president that he wanted to be all along. Now, 8 years ago, Trump came to Washington willing to listen to people who wanted to help him. People who were part of the power structure in the Congress or in the military or within the power structure of the Republican Party itself. He allowed himself to be restrained by some of his cabinet members and by his first two chiefs of staff. It now seems that he very much regretted that restraint, and things are going to be quite different this time around.
Well, then it's not Trump 1 if it's going to be different. Collins or Murkowski? Yeah, those
Collins
two.
And Murkowski. Collins is the worst. She's the only Republican who voted for Xavier Becerra, that guy who runs HHS, who's got no experience whatsoever. He's worse than, if you're going to compare him to Kennedy, for example. And she's the one Republican who voted for him. Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is every Republican said, nah, but this guy's no good? No, I'm going to vote for her. She had a stroke some years ago. I think it really, she's Mitch? Addled.
Oh, Murkowski or Collins?
Collins, yeah. Oh. That's why she talks so funny.
Oh.
But Mitch McConnell's got something. He's got some neurological disorder that's, did you see the latest clip of him?
He's got brain freeze.
He just stops.
He's got something wrong with him. He's a candidate for Neuralink.
But he's the one who said he's an apologist for China. He voted against Hegseth.
He's
Hegseth's
married to a Chinese lady.
And he's married to a Chinese family. I think she's a Chinese national, too. Yeah. At least was.
Yeah. TikTok.
And
TikTok lady.
He's so he's no good. He's no good. And neither is Collins. No, I don't know what Murkowski's problem is.
Well, just think of the name. Murkowski. I can't even say Murkowski. You're a problem. So are they going to be problems with everybody, do you think?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Final clip?
Yeah.
The idea seems to be to issue his challenge, not just to his rivals or critics, but to the entire federal establishment. And I think he would like that description. The main thing, he feels very empowered. No more worries about reelection, so he can be the kind of president he always wanted to be.
Try and review some of those items, beginning with the January 6th pardons and commutations.
This move may have been the biggest surprise of the week, and the one thing
really?
That put the Republican Party
in the really? Biggest surprise of it? Really? No, everyone knew he was going to do this.
Risk. Vice President Vance had said he supported pardons for nonviolent protesters, but not for those who were violent, and especially not those who beat on the police. But then Trump pardoned almost all of those charged, including the organizers, including the ringleaders, including the most violent.
And how do you assess the executive orders we've seen?
They run the gamut from pure fantasy to cold reality. Deportations are real. They have begun. But Trump's suggestion that he could really eliminate birthright citizenship with a wave of his black Sharpie was shot down before the week was over. A federal judge in Seattle, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan 4 decades ago, called it a legal absurdity and clearly...
I don't know, because it was he was appointed by Ronald Reagan, an old coot.
Eliminate birthright citizenship with a wave of his black Sharpie was shot down before the week was over. Federal judge in Seattle, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan four decades ago, called it a legal absurdity and clearly unconstitutional.
Does President Trump really want to get rid of FEMA?
You know, you can always get cheers at a rally by promising to get rid of a federal agency, and Trump was not saying the federal government would never provide any money, but just that it wouldn't be up to FEMA. He said the agency got in the way.
Yeah, which is not even, so this thinking is not even that crazy. But before we get to that, I want to stick with Hegseth, because I got Elizabeth Warren here with some choice words for our new Secretary of Defense.
Pete Hegseth, the Army National Guard veteran and Fox News host, who Trump nominated to lead the Department of Defense, faces a Senate confirmation vote later tonight. That vote will occur amid Hegseth's own admission that he made a $50,000 payment to the woman who accused him of sexual assault in 2017. The revelation was one of the written answers that Hegseth provided to Senator Elizabeth Warren in response to additional questions that Warren posed to Hegseth as part of the vetting process. Senator Warren also had much to say about these troubling allegations involving Hegseth's drinking habits.
Here we go.
The kind of drunk that you take work folks to a strip club, and so drunk then that you try to get up on stage and dance with the strippers. The kind of drunk that stop the Uber because you're going to vomit drunk. Look, I understand there are people who have alcohol problems, but we cannot trust the safety of our country to someone who has demonstrated repeatedly using very bad judgment with alcohol and doing it in ways that truly have incapacitated him.
Wow.
Well, that reminds me of the smear. I have the clips here that they, as NPR tried to pull. This is about a week ago. This is Hegseth, the NBX smear.
Is NBX, is that NPR? Is that cute winter
probably.
Boots?
It's
cute
hard to say. So when I'm typing away.
Cute winter boots, NBX. From now on, NPR is known as NBX on this show.
NBX.
Here we go.
The president's nominee for Secretary of Defense is once again facing allegations of alcohol abuse and misconduct.
Yeah, Pete Hegseth endured a round of questions about his past, as well as his qualifications, and his nominations made it out of a Senate committee on a party line vote. The full Senate has yet to vote, and now his former sister-in-law has added her own views. She submitted an affidavit to senators saying Hegseth caused his ex-wife to fear for her safety.
Unsurprisingly, the affidavit is now public. NPR congressional correspondent Deirdre Walsh is among reporters who obtained copies. Deirdre, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Okay, so what in this document adds to what was already known?
This is an on-the-record signed sworn statement from Hegseth's former sister-in-law, as you noted, Danielle Hegseth. She was married to his brother, Nathaniel. And she states that she was asked to provide the statement by the top Democrat on the panel, Jack Reed. Senator Reed told me last night he made the request for the details because he didn't think the FBI background check on Hegseth was adequate. Danielle Hegseth says, in her personal opinion, Pete Hegseth is, quote, unfit for the job. She says her former sister-in-law, Samantha, Hegseth's second wife, who he divorced, feared for her personal safety during their marriage. She often hid in a closet. She said Samantha had a plan about texting her a safe word or code word that meant she wanted someone to fly to Minnesota to help her. Danielle Hegseth also said wow. She personally witnessed Hegseth intoxicated, yelling in her face. She told the FBI that Hegseth abused alcohol numerous times over the years to the point of actually passing out during a holiday gathering.
Well, what does Hegseth say about all that?
Well, NPR reached out to his attorney, Tim Parlatore. He has not responded. But Parlatore told NBC, which first reported on this affidavit, that Samantha Hegseth, this ex-wife, never alleged any of abuse and actually signed court documents acknowledging there was no abuse. And she affirmed that as part of Hegseth's background check.
I see a book deal coming. I see a book deal.
So this woman, well, let's play this part two, and then I can tell you some other details.
He maintained, Parlatore, that Danielle was, quote, an anti-Trump far-left Democrat who was divorced from Hegseth's brother and never got along the family. he said she has an axe to grind. In Samantha Hegseth's case, she told NBC in a statement there was no physical abuse. She wasn't going to comment on her marriage, and she didn't have representatives speaking on her behalf. It's worth noting that during the public confirmation hearing, Pete Hegseth was pressed about previous allegations about excessive drinking, inappropriate behavior, which he denied.
In a broad sense, said they were anonymous allegations and so forth. I guess the key question here involves Republican senators. How are they responding to this?
You know, they're standing behind him. I spoke with several last night after this affidavit became public. Most said they hadn't read the document, but they questioned the timing, the motivation. Hegseth's nomination is on track for a full Senate vote later this week or over the weekend at the latest. I talked to Armed Services Chairman Roger Wicker. He told reporters he had grave doubts about Danielle Hegseth's account in the affidavit, but he also admitted he hadn't read it. He said he was planning to review it, but he dismissed it as political. So far, no Senate Republican has publicly said they're going to oppose Pete Hegseth's nomination. With the 53-seat majority, he can lose three Republican votes and still get confirmed. He's not likely to get any support from Democrats, but he's not going to need them. Right now, he has the votes.
All right, so now you're going to smear this woman.
So here's the thing. Why is this report even... This is a smear report on the part of NPR, just to throw these details out there about this crazy Danielle girl who's just nuts, obviously. And this is the same, you know, kind of bull crap where somebody reached out to her from the Democrat Party saying, can you give us some dirt? Here's something you want. Why don't you sign this?
Yeah, like the Boof lady.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just this kind of thing should to report on this as though it's, there's even any hint that is possibly legit is irresponsible, and NPR does this constantly.
Well, hold on. We've cracked the code. It wasn't NPR. NBX is clearly NBC. If you look at the keyboard.
Well, okay. This is an NPR report about the NBC report.
Ah, okay. I'm with you. Got it.
Because those are the two NPR people.
I'm still and going to call NPR NBX.
NBC. They got the information from NBC and turned it into a smear.
Got it.
And NBC, of course, is another one that's just another bad actor that they would be the ones to do this to begin with.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I have, what do I have here? I have NBC. I have an NBC report from your girl. Yummy.
Also, this morning,
my God, I saw this. I wish I had clipped it.
I got
it. She's lost it.
Also this morning, President Trump is celebrating a razor-thin victory. His controversial pick to head up the Defense Department, Pete Hegseth, has been confirmed thanks to a late-night rare tie-breaking vote by his vice president, J.D. Vance, NBC White House correspondent.
Wait, hold on a second. Stop the clip. They've been in office for, what, 4 or 5 days, and this is now a rare vote?
Well, okay, so I happen to know what this is. Only one other time has an appointee been a tiebreaker, and that was in 2017, and that was some woman, I forget, that Trump nominated. So a tiebreaker is not rare, but they make it sound like this is just crazy rare, and it's too bad J.D. Vance is there, because, you know, Kamala Harris would have voted. I don't know what it is. It's just, let's get to Yamiche.
Is in Las Vegas traveling with President Trump. Yamiche, good morning.
Good morning. Last night, the Senate narrowly voted to confirm Pete Hegseth as the new defense secretary. Vice President J.D. Vance had to cast a tie-breaking vote when lawmakers deadlocked 50-50. It was only the second time in history a cabinet vote needed a tiebreaker. Vance stepped in after...
See, that's a lie. It's not the first time the cabinet has ever had a... Well, I guess if you call it cabinet. Maybe she's right. But she kind of makes it sound when she talks like...
No, she's like, in tears. I've seen some of her reports recently. This woman's lost it.
50. It was only the second time in history a cabinet vote needed a tiebreaker.
What?
She said second time.
Yeah, second time. cabinet vote. So she's correct.
Vance stepped in after former Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Vance stepped in. He's like, oh, I'm J.D. Vance. I'm here to stop the proceedings.
Vance stepped in after former Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and two other Republican senators, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, joined all Democrats in voting against the nomination. Hegseth got the job despite a number of controversies, including allegations of alcohol abuse, domestic violence, a sexual assault, and the financial mismanagement of organizations that he led.
But wait. There's much more to come. Yamiche will be breaking all over the place with the coming nominees.
President Trump has a number of other nominees that still need to make it through the Senate, with hearings for RFK Jr., Kash Patel, and Tulsi Gabbard set for next week. Gabbard, Trump's pick for Director of National Intelligence, has possibly the toughest road ahead. She has never worked in the intelligence world and has been accused of amplifying Russian propaganda. Gabbard has denied the claims.
C-SPAN is going to be on fire this week. Russia and Europe, you coddle up to dictators like Assad. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, I think the hearing's going to be dynamite with her, because she's going to throw it back.
Yeah.
Talking about J.D. Vance, that's a bonus clip. We might as well play it. This is J.D. Vance. I think it's this morning, or a recent clip of him on, I guess it's Face the Nation with Margaret Brennan.
Mm-hmm.
Who's jumping all over him on these immigrants. And this is one of those moments where I used to say, well, you know, this guy could have been a little harsher. And so if we play this clip, I'm going to coach everyone how to be a little harsher with this.
When you talked to us in August, you said, I don't think we should abandon anybody who's been properly vetted and helped us. Do you stand by that?
Well, Margaret, I don't agree that all these immigrants or all these refugees have been properly vetted. In fact, we know that there are cases of people who allegedly were properly vetted and then were literally planning terrorist attacks on our country. That happened during the campaign, if you may remember. So clearly not all of these foreign nationals have been properly vetted.
But there are 30,000 people in the pipeline. Afghan refugees.
But my primary concern as the vice president, Margaret, is to look after the American people. And now that we know that we have vetting problems with a lot of these refugee programs, we absolutely cannot unleash thousands of unvetted people into our country.
These people are vetted. These people are vetted.
Just like the guy who planned a terrorist attack in Oklahoma a few months ago, he was allegedly properly vetted. And many people in the media and the Democratic Party said that he was properly vetted. Clearly, he wasn't. I don't want my children to share a neighborhood with people who are not properly vetted. And because I don't want it for my kids, I'm not going to force any other American citizen's kids to do that either.
No, and that was a very particular case. It wasn't clear if he was radicalized when he got here or while he was living here.
I don't really care, Margaret. I don't want that person in my country. And I think most Americans agree with me.
We'll be back in 1 minute with more of our interview with Vice President Vance.
Thanks for leaving that in.
So, I left that in. So the thing that she said was, well, yeah. And by the way, he does a good job of conflating the Democrat Party and the media. He does that pretty slickly that nobody notices. She could have called him out on that. But he could have called her out when she said, well, we don't know whether this guy was radicalized over there or when he came over here. And so the comeback to that would have been, Martha, are you telling me that living all those years in Afghanistan would have no effect on his personality? And then when he comes into the United States of America, here he gets radicalized to become a terrorist? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah.
And that would have turned the table. She would have not been able to deal with that.
But he's a nice guy. He's trying to be a nice guy.
Well, he can be pretty... sharp.
Nice guy.
Because I think he missed an opportunity to throw it at her.
Yeah. He's already vice president. He's laughing. He's like, I'm vice president. I don't care what you say.
I like to have seen it.
I have a couple of quickies here as President Trump has been doing all kinds of interesting stuff. Of course, we talked about some of this on Thursday, but these are all short, less than half a minute.
Next tonight, President Trump has revoked the security detail assigned to Dr. Anthony Fauci, according to sources. Dr. Fauci was the president's top COVID advisor during his first term and has faced regular threats on his life for years. Trump has also revoked security for three other former advisors who faced threats from Iran. In North Carolina today, Trump said they all have made a lot of money. They can hire their own security, too.
Then this has got to be my favorite because it is the season of review.
Lastly, sir, we have an executive order ordering the declassification of files relating to the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
That's a big one, huh? A lot of people are waiting for this for a long, for years, for decades. And everything will be revealed.
Yeah. I know you only play that clip for that.
You know it. You know it. Everything will be revealed. And
I had that clip. I was saying, I'm not putting this clip out there because Adam was saying, oh, it's the year of reveal or some horseshit.
Season of reveal. Yeah. This is another promise made and kept. This is an important one. For the black voters, because that's what this was all about.
The administration has withdrawn a proposed rule that would ban menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars. A menthol ban had been a top priority for the U.S. Food and Drug Administration when former President Joe Biden was in office. However, the Biden administration never gave the ban the green light amid lobbying from stakeholder groups.
Menthol will stay. Menthol cigarettes, very important. MASA, Make America Smoke Again. It's good. We're rocking and rolling.
Oh, so there is used to be a product that you could get. This is the people who don't know this. I say most of our audience, the olders do.
The olders?
The olders.
The olders.
And so you have, used to be able to buy these little, it's like a little wooden peg, very small little thing, and you'd stick it in the end of a cigar.
And it would blow up. I remember those. You could stick it in.
Whatever happened to that? The exploding cigar.
They were great. It was like a little, little match, and you stuck it. Because I did that to my mom and my dad, and they hated it.
Oh, you did. Oh, you would.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And they'd light it up, and then after about three puffs, and it wasn't really an explosion, but it was funny.
It was kind of an explosion, like a small miniature firecracker. It blew the end off the thing.
I bet you can still. Yeah, sometimes you're like a smokestack. It would go pow like that. Like one of those exploded. I remember that. Oh, man. My mom. Rest in peace, Mom. That was funny. Those days were good. My dad probably egged me on.
I didn't know your mom smoked cigars, but okay.
She wore army boots, too. Cute winter boots. Since it was discussed, here's the minute clip of President Trump talking about FEMA.
I'll also be signing an executive order to begin the process of fundamentally reforming and overhauling FEMA, or maybe getting rid of FEMA. I think, frankly, FEMA is not good. I think when you have a problem like this, I think you want to go and whether it's a Democrat or Republican governor, you want to use your state to fix it and not waste time calling FEMA, and then FEMA gets here and they don't know the area, they've never been to the area, and they want to give you rules that you've never heard about. They want to bring people that aren't as good as the people you already have, and FEMA's turned out to be a disaster. And you could go back a long way. You could go back to Louisiana, you could go back to some of the things that took place in Texas. It turns out to be the state that ends up doing the work. It just complicates it. I think we're going to recommend that FEMA go away. And we pay directly, we pay a percentage to the state, but the state should fix this. If the state did this from the beginning, it would have been a lot better situation. I think you guys agree with that, right?
What are we going to call the FEMA camps? We can't call them FEMA camps anymore. And what FEMA region will I live in? I'm in FEMA region number 6.
You're at a crossroads here.
This is going to change the show. Everyone knows the FEMA region they're in. What's your FEMA region?
6.
No, I'm in 6. Are you also? You can't be in 6.
Oh, I'm in 9.
So I'm going to say you can't be in 6. Everybody knows their FEMA region. Oh, sorry. So I don't know. I mean, it's probably a good idea. It's very expensive, the FEMA.
No, it's a horrible operation.
So then there was the...
Brownie.
Yeah, good job, Brownie. So then there was the President Trump in Los Angeles with the first lady, man. Ah, she's great. She's going out with him now. Our first lady, very stylish first lady. Hopefully she'll be giving her props. She got her hat on. She got her glasses on, looking all stylish. I like it. And then she had a beanie on, like a Tim Pool beanie. That was cool. Yeah. So I have two clips. The first one is about the permits. I mean, it was basically President Trump just railing on, well, not railing, but saying, you know, you're nuts.
This railing on the Democrat representative. He was railing less on the mayor, but he was giving her grief too. He was getting everybody grief, and I have to say that the Politico of them all, which is Governor Newsom, avoided being there.
Well,
he met him at the tarmac and then took off.
I have the tarmac clip.
A new effort is underway to recall Governor Gavin Newsom. It is being led.
I'm sorry. That's the recall Governor Newsom. somewhere I had a meeting. Anyway.
Yeah.
Here is the exchange with the Los Angeles Mayor Bass.
We're going to move as fast as we can, but we want you to be safe, and we want you to be back in your homes immediately.
But the people are willing to clean out their own debris. It doesn't cost a lot.
Yes, and they can.
You should let them do it, because by the time you hire contractors, it's going to be 2 years.
If a family...
The people are willing to get... A dumpster and do it themselves and clean it out.
And they can.
There's not that much left. It's all incinerated.
That's right.
And, you know, it's just going to take a long time if you do. You can do some of it, but a lot of these people, I know that guy right there that's talking. I know my people. You'll be on that thing tonight, throwing the stuff away, and your site will be, it'll look perfect within 24 hours. And that's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to wait around for 7 months till the city hires some demolition contract. That's going to charge him $25,000 to do his lot.
Yeah.
I think you have to, you have emergency powers just like I do, and I'm exercising my emergency powers. You have to exercise them also.
I did exercise them.
You have a very powerful emergency power, and you can do everything within 24 hours.
Yes. And if individuals want to clear out their property, they can. We think within a week.
That's a long time, a week. I'll be honest. To me, everyone's standing in front of their house. They want to go to work, and they're not allowed to do it.
And the most important thing is for people to be safe.
They're safe. They're safe. You know what? They're not safe. They're not safe now. They're going to be much safer. A week is actually a long time, the way I look at it. I watched hundreds of people standing in front of their lots, and they're not allowed to go in. It's all burned. It's gone. It's done. Nothing's going to happen to it. It's not going to burn anymore. There's nothing to burn. There's almost nothing to burn. And they want to go in. The people are all over the place. They're standing, and they say, Warren, you're going in. We're trying to get a permit. And the permit's going to take them. Everybody said 18 months. You said 18 months. You said 18 months.
And she didn't have a comeback for that, because she probably did say 18 months. But then...
Yeah, 18 months. That's ridiculous. You know, he goes all over this, and she kept going on about, well, there's hazardous waste. She also had some comment about that. It was like, what hazard? Everything's gone. It just, she is terrible. And the whole, the operation down there is just completely out of control. And she's useless. She's like a classic bureaucrat yakking away.
And then some county guy pipes in. And this is where President Trump just brought the humor back with sincerity.
Mr. President, we're going to be together next week. And during the interim, many of us are involved in, and Tom McClintock, who you know has been an expert on this for years,
right.
We are going to be putting conditions on the money that do two things. Require that it be done timely and affordable. And then secondly, that we protect those who will come afterwards. As we speak, there are 6,000 acres burning in my district on the Mexican border. There will be more fires until we include in any disaster relief items which will prevent it or at least mitigate it from happening again. So you're going to see us proposing both of those.
Like water. Little things like water. You know, the party of common sense. See, we're the party of common sense. You're not, in all fairness.
Yes, sir.
We like water to put out fires. It's really quite efficient.
Water. Just make sure you have water. Yeah, that's great. That's great. It's funny. I mean, humor in dire circumstances, of course, because it's a total disaster. Where are all these people? Where are they right now? They can't all be in hotels. Are they? I mean, they're staying with family.
Probably with friends mostly.
That's horrible, man. It's like. But you know what? If anything ever happens in Northern California, like an earthquake or something, you can stay in our spare room.
Yeah.
We can do the show together. We can do briskets together.
Yeah, there you go.
I did a brisket. I did my first brisket the other day.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay, well, give me, describe to me what you did.
Okay, so we had the brisket, 10 pounds.
10 pounds, 10 okay.
10 pounds. Tina did the rub, which was a mustard-based rub, salt and pepper.
Yeah, she'd be the one doing the rub. I can see that.
She rubs the best.
Yeah, it would seem so.
Okay, easy. 225, 3 hours. Internal.
Where? In what?
Pit Boss. Internal temperature up to 160. Then wrapped it in butcher paper.
How many hours did you do the 225?
3 hours. Three hours until internal temp was 160. Wrapped it in butcher paper right there on the grill. Bam.
Yeah, that's what everyone talks about.
Yeah. Internal temperature up to 190. Then take it out in the butcher paper, wrap it in a towel, put it inside a cooler, but not a cool cooler, but like a Yeti bag cooler. So it maintains the heat. For 2 hours, actually 2.5 hours, it was dynamite. Perfect. Actually, 192 was the temperature I took it to.
That sounds right.
Yeah. It was the first time ever that we've ever done a brisket. And the brisket, 10 pounds, you know what we pay for that out here? In cow country, not at the restaurant, in cow country.
$1.50.
$13. $13.
Well, that's good. $13 for 10 pounds?
Yes. It's amazing.
$30 a pound.
No. It was 10 pounds, $13.
10 pounds, $13.
Yeah.
That's $1.30 a pound.
Oh, I thought you said $30. I misunderstood. Yeah, $1.30 a pound. Exactly. That's a good price. In the restaurants here, you can't even go to the restaurants. No one can afford them.
Yeah, I find that peculiar.
Especially beef.
Now as you bring it up, now as you tell me that you can get brisket meat for $1.30 a pound and the restaurant would charge you like $40 for three slices.
A couple slices and some gravy. Yeah.
And what's wrong with those restaurants? I don't get it.
And you know what? You order online and the guy brings it the same day to your door. Hey, Mrs. Curry, how you doing? Here we go. Here's your beef. He's right down the road.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. That's probably why the restaurants are so expensive.
What do you mean? Why?
Nobody in their right mind would go to one.
No, we're a tourist.
Got to make up for it in the higher prices.
Do you know how many people visited Fredericksburg last year?
1 million.
2 million people.
Yeah, why?
For our cute German bakery, of course. And for our beautiful little Main Street and our 150 wineries where everyone get hammered and our open container on the street.
Yeah, that's right. You can drive around drinking a beer.
and smoking a joint at the same
People
time.
People don't realize that in Texas you can drive around drinking a beer.
No, it's not true.
Yeah, it's true.
No, it's not true. But in Fredericksburg, you can walk around with an open container drinking. Which is one of three, I think only three cities in the country. We're very special, maybe six, but we're very special that way. Final clip for me for the time being on the media, which, by the way, we say 4 more years. I don't know if we're going to make 4 more years. I mean, CNN and MSNBC they're going to have nobody left. They're firing everybody. So they're just going to have, I don't know, what are they going to do? They're just going to put podcasts.
You always have PBS and NPR.
But all of the NPR is also struggling. The model is broken. You know, everybody wants, like, who wants to watch Margaret Brennan with J.D. Vance with little sound bites and a shortened edited interviews when you can watch him on Rogan for 3 hours and get an actual opinion about somebody? The system, the whole distribution idea of linear television is broken, and Fox will run into the same problem. Everyone's rah rah right now, but it'll run into the same problem. They can't do it. It's not going to function. So, what are we going to be doing? Just critiquing podcasts at the end of the road?
Well, we have some clips from podcasts that are quite entertaining.
Yeah, I know, but you know, there'll be nothing left to complain about. It's just going to be a free for all.
We got nothing to complain about. That'll be the day, by the way. That will be the day.
There'll be nothing to complain about. So, On the Media is still a fun NBX show. formerly known as NPR, where they supposedly give us the insights as to what the media is doing. And they're focusing very heavily on what to do about Trump and his supporters. They're not voters. There's never going to be voters for Trump. There's still always going to be supporters.
And loyalists.
And loyalists. So that's the people that work with him. They're loyalists. And the attack vector is clear. This is on the media this week. Top of the show, right away, a minute and a half of this.
We will not forget our country. We will not forget our Constitution. And we will not forget our God.
Donald Trump's second White House boasts more confidence and resolve than his first. Results unknown. From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
Just a few months ago in a beautiful Pennsylvania field, an assassin's bullet ripped through my ear. But I felt then, and believe even more so now, that my life was saved for a reason. I was saved by God to make America great again.
And so saith the clergy at his inauguration. Fair enough, that's the view through the prism of Trump and his supporters. That was Monday. Now, unlike the Capitol riot, which everyone could see in real life, God's reality has long been debated. As they say, faith is antithetical to proof, and vice versa. And the nature of God is viewed variously as well. There's a long tradition among some evangelicals, dating back at least 100 years, of seeing Jesus as a warrior and the faithful as his troops.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting to impose their way of life on America.
Fighting to impose our way of life on America. Go, Jesus!
They see the Jesus of the Gospels, helping the poor, turning the other cheek, as effeminate. As for those who follow the prosperity...
Effeminate. That's pussies! Jesus turning the other cheek is gay. Yeah.
They see the Jesus of the Gospels helping the poor, turning the other cheek.
Who's this?
This is Brooke Gladstone.
No. Who is this that thinks that?
Brooke Gladstone and no one else. This is what I'm saying. This is their attack vector. It's so weak, but it's almost done.
They see the Jesus of the Gospels helping the poor, turning the other cheek as effeminate. As for those who follow the prosperity gospel favored by the president, which...
I've got to ask Pastor Jimmy, what is prosperity gospel? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I do.
What is it?
Well, there's a bunch of these guys. I think Mike Murdoch's one of them, who's just a wreck now. It's really a shame because he did some really good material. That's the gospel, if you want to call it that.
The gospel.
It's a thesis. It's a way of there's one black preacher that really made the most out of it. He used to wear a sport coat made out of dollar bills.
Well, he's on my TikTok, that's for sure. I don't know who it is.
You'll be seeing him.
Yeah.
And it's the idea that the more virtuous you are, the richer you'll get. And it's all about making a lot of money, and that's God's reward. And yes, and because you make all this money, by the way, you should give us 4% as a tithe.
What happened to 10? Yeah, 4%.
You're right. But yet, these guys do push for 10. So you give us 10, and then because you're already rich, you're going to get tenfold back.
Amen.
So the 10 plus tenfold back, plus the money you're making because you're doing God's work, all of it. And so that's the game you're playing. And it's quite entertaining.
It sounds like a Ponzi scheme. Oh, hold on. Here we go.
As for those who follow the prosperity gospel favored by the president, which holds that God rewards the worthy with wealth in this life.
By the way, stop. Trump has never, that I can recall, and we've been following him very closely, promoted the prosperity gospel ever.
No, he's
find one clip where he says anything about it.
No, but I believe that he adheres to it. His dad taught him a long time ago, you give money away, it comes back to you, because he gives a lot of money. And not the phony baloney stuff they always moan about. Oh, his fake nonprofit.
No, he does give a lot of money away.
To lots of people for all kinds of things.
But the prosperity
gospel
is within the church itself. It's not giving money away to other people.
Here we go.
As for those who follow the prosperity gospel favored by the president, which holds that God rewards the worthy with wealth in this life, they would dismiss the claim that Jesus ever said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. In today's parlance, they'd probably call the Gospel of Matthew fake news.
Fake news!
No, they wouldn't.
Matthew was fake news, man. Fake news. That's their pathetic attack vector.
I think you might be right. The left likes to use, left generally speaking is atheists.
Mm-hmm, generally
speaking. And they like to use religion as an attack vector, even though it's a shotgun approach. And they don't understand enough about anything to do it well.
No.
And because the only way it really works is it religion against religion. It doesn't work. Atheists against religion. It just doesn't fly.
It's really amazing, though. How she rolled. That was the top of the show. I'm like, really? That's where you're going with this? Good luck.
I have one clip before we take a break. It's kind of interesting because it's not being reported on at all. And I guess they're going, talking about this sort of, this anti-populist mentality, which is what you just played.
Mm-hmm.
Is about the AfD protests going on in Germany.
Oh, yes. Oh.
And this is from Al Jazeera, so you know it's going to be against the AfD.
Protests have been held in cities across Germany against the rise of the far right. The demonstrations come ahead of federal elections next month. These were the scenes at the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin. A similar protest was held in Cologne. The rallies come as far-right politician Alice Weidel launched her campaign to become chancellor.
Yes, I have a clip as well about the AfD.
Well, tens of thousands of Germans rallied Saturday against the far right ahead of next month's federal elections. Right. U.S. tech billionaire Elon Musk once again endorsed the AfD party, telling its supporters via video link that their party was the best hope for the future of Germany and Europe. AfD is polling at around 20% ahead of the February 23rd elections, a record for the far-right party in post-war Germany.
We have to wake up again in these times because, unfortunately, it's going in the wrong direction, I think. And yes, we simply want to send a message. Democracy is simply a good thing, and we simply have to stand together. And above all, simply show that what the AfD is doing is not conforming. It's not reasonable.
So Elon was out there, big head on the big screen, saying, if Germany goes down, then that's all of Europe. It's going to end, which I think he's kind of right.
I think so, too.
He's far right. He's kind of far right.
He's far right.
He's very far right. Hey, with that, I want to thank you for your courage. Hey, in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the exploding cigars. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. John C. DeVore.
Yeah, in the morning, you speak Santa Curia, and with ships, sea boots, and round feet in the air, subs in the water, and the dames. Nice out there.
Yeah, in the morning, you roll up. How you doing? How we going, everybody? What's going on? All right. Well, once again, record numbers. 2,471.
That's not a record for Sunday.
Yeah, but it's above the average. The average is 2,400.
Yeah.
So it's record.
You know what the high mark was?
4,000, I think. 3,000, yep. 4,000. Yeah, when 4,000. Was that? Was after what?
It was after COVID, so it wasn't during COVID. I can't remember what triggered it.
Hmm. Yeah. Well,
write the numbers. I should have noted what was the reason it happened.
Maybe we do that again. Whatever we did then, make that happen. Make that happen again. These trolls are all.
Maybe it was when Trump was. Even before Trump was shot in the ear.
No, I don't think so. These trolls are all in the troll room, trollroom.io. And they're listening in live and they're trolling along as usual. It's Sunday. What do you mean? I know what day it is. It's Sunday. People think I don't know what day it is. I don't actually, but I think it's Sunday.
No, you don't. You never do.
We don't know what day it is. And they're also listening on those modern podcast apps. And if you're in China, by the way, hello Chinese, get yourself a modern podcast app because Apple, and I have to go in and check it. There's a tool that I can check it with. Apple is now allowing the Chinese government, also known as the CCP, the communist Chinese government to remove episodes they don't like from podcasts. So if you're using your Apple podcast app in China, and I'm sure this will, I mean, if Apple's going to do it for China, why wouldn't they do it anywhere else? They allow the government censors to go in and delete episodes they don't like. How about that?
They probably have a team of people.
Yeah, well, exactly. And who knows? I mean, so the modern podcast apps, they hook up to the podcast index, which is never going to censor anybody. And you can get to it in a million different ways. You can go directly to podcastindex.org even. So you want to consider what you're using. Those modern podcast apps, they're good because they also give you the live stream. Another thing Apple hasn't figured out yet. You know, these guys are so short-sighted. Every single radio station in the world has a stream.
Yeah, nowadays.
Yeah.
Now you got to the point where Netflix has decided to start the stream.
Not streaming radio, just streaming.
No, I'm just saying this. I mean, the idea of streaming as opposed to just stagnant content.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Has been picked up by everyone.
Yes, streaming is hip. All the kids
This is a podcast that we do, so you can listen to it anytime you want, just like any other podcast. But it's also streamed.
It's streamed live every Sunday and Thursday, and you can sit there and you can say things. And John doesn't look at it because I understand why. But you know, I have peripheral vision. I'm like, oh, okay. There's someone saying something. Oh, okay. And we add it in. It's like a studio audience with a voice, only I can't hear you so that I can tell people what you're saying, but you're not just yelling it out. And I don't
That'd
hear
be great it. If you could get the sound.
Oh, we can do that.
You just hear people in the background yelling like hecklers.
Let's do that. That'd be kind of funny. We do.
It would be funny.
Yeah. No, we can do a Discord where everybody can scream and yell. Right, I'll try. I'll set it up. We'll see how that goes.
Oh, yeah, I can already tell you how it's going to go.
I know exactly how it's going to go. Hey, man, that's fake and gay. Okay, that's the standard line. You suck, Curry. Yeah, I know.
Fake and gay.
That's the only line these guys
very,
have.
Very mature audience when it comes down to it.
Extremely mature. But we appreciate the trolls, and they are, of course, a driving force behind No Agenda Nation. We love all of you. The trolls, I'm sure that a lot of the trolls are not actually trolls, but they're artists, and those artists participate in our value for value model. We talked about it earlier, how the transition to AI, which don't worry, is not going to be long. Pretty soon we'll have quantum art, QA, quantum art. It's all coming. Quantum art is on the way. The pivot to quantum is happening. But instead,
I'd like to just get a desktop quantum computer that can even add 2 + 2. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. Well, I run my own models at home. So this AI stuff is I don't need ChatGPT. I run my own at home on a little computer. Works fine. Now, there was, once again, some complaints about the artwork. I got a complaint.
Wow.
Yep. I got one complaint, but I got a complaint.
Okay. Let's read the complaint.
I took the phone out of my pocket and was very embarrassed when I pulled up your episode. It was not safe for work or children.
What?
That was the complaint. Yes.
That's not true.
Well, you know, this particular person, who is a knight, by the way, said...
I appreciate the knights chiming in with their thoughts.
Yeah, and said, it was not safe for work, to which I replied... Noted. That's always a good one. I learned that from
you.
What
did you say?
I said, sorry? Noted. Noted.
Oh, yes. That's my
noted. Like I wrote it down on a note. And then I said,
noted.
I said, to be fair, our podcast is marked as explicit in the feed and everywhere on all podcasts apps. So we have signaled ahead of time that we are an explicit podcast, whatever that means. But art-wise, I mean, we couldn't stay away from it because it was... See, this is the stuff that ChatGPT, and no AI can come up with this, even though it's made with AI, because we know that Francisco Scaramanga, who did this piece for us, we know that he uses AI exclusively.
Yes, but we can see that Davos Hospitality wasn't put on there by AI.
No.
AI can barely print its own name.
Quantum will be able to spell its own name. Q-U-W.
Okay, so here's what this is the artwork, which we both agreed that it was the only acceptable artwork.
You actually pushed back while I was saying we should go with it. You were apprehensive. You were apprehensive.
Well, this is not untrue.
Noted. What do you mean?
Noted.
This is not it's untrue. Like, well, the reason the, was, oh, man.
It's because I said, you called me out on it, I think rightfully so. I said, you know, as much as I'm the big advocate for cheesecake,
yeah,
I said, I don't think we can keep just doing it, you know, constantly, and Scaramanga loves it.
Yeah.
And I kind of pushed back a little bit, and then you jumped all over me because I'm the one who is behind it. I'm actually, literally, this would have never been produced by Scaramanga if it wasn't for my commentary over the years about cheesecake being attractive to people. It's just attention getting, and that's what we're trying to do with art. You try to get people's attention, and a couple of big boobs holding a plate of lemons and garlic, which is a reference to partly of the show.
And the Davos hospitality.
And the Davos hospitality.
Because we talked about the hookers.
A whore.
We took a high-end escort, I think, is what is preferred.
It was sketchy, but at the same time, it was the best piece.
It was good.
But I don't see how it's offensive.
No, I didn't say it was offensive. It was
no. Your knight thought it was
not safe for. He thought it was not safe for work, and
it's not naked woman. It's not a naked woman.
He thought it was
this kind of outfit that you can see on the street.
I'm just. It's true. You can see it. What do you mean the street? You can see this in the grocery store. Women walk around in yoga clothes, yoga pants everywhere. This is like. Oh, you've noticed. Yeah.
And that Sanchez woman that Bezos is hanging out
right.
with, like this
inauguration
at the inauguration.
Yeah, did he turn off the inauguration? Probably not.
I don't think so.
Yes. But anyway,
so I'll defend the piece from that perspective.
Let me see. We did look at a few other things. We looked at the AI meal plan, which
you like the Stargate.
I didn't push for it. I said, "What about the Stargate?" And you said, "No one will know what it is." I'm like, "You're correct." What else was there? What was this pickle surprise with a French guy? I didn't understand that one. A lot of this AI art is really crap. And it's just bad ideas by people who can use AI, which is everybody. That's the downside. That's the downside. We both kind of liked what Darren O'Neill did, because how does Darren O'Neill even do it? Where he gets an AI prompt to make a robot painting the French artist guy. I mean, it was just bizarrely good.
I used it for the newsletter.
Yeah, it was bizarrely good.
Because it's like, I mean, I wanted to use something else because, you know, Darren is like producing all this material that is like
you highly,
unbeatable.
Highly usable. Yeah.
He really nailed it. The art of the art.
Yes.
Yeah. He people should call him up and make him teach them.
Yeah. Yeah, they should. He should charge for it.
He could.
Yeah, he could. So I think that was about it. That was the only thing that we really discussed. I thought the comic strip blogger Trump with his No Agenda Best Podcast Universe executive order was cute. I used that for the bat signal this morning. That was just cute.
Yeah, I was going to almost use that for the newsletter.
Yeah, it's cute.
But it's like it's illegal.
Illegal?
To be honest about it. And I decided I'm not going to do it.
Illegal?
Yeah, you can't use a famous person to promote something without compensation.
Right. Right. But I think we're pretty safe with the president.
Well, I think so too, but okay. It's still technically illegal.
Yeah. But I felt okay though. Like, I don't think I'm ever going to get to sleep in the Lincoln bedroom. Joe Rogan got there before me, but yeah, otherwise.
Yeah. I don't think that Trump, as far as Trump's concerned, is another picture of him out there in the
he's good with it.
He's good with it.
I'm good. So in our value for value model, we have time. We have
talent. But anyway, but people should note that, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. Still people, a lot of people are like, hey, you're breaking a rule. Whatever. We go to the treasure portion, which means we thank everybody who supports us financially, which is incredibly important because we have bills to pay. And this is all we have. This is all we do. This is it's a full-time job. Let me just note for a second. I had 79 clips. Now, that includes meetups and really, I don't even have ISOs. That's without ISOs. You came in with 28. Now my 78 includes five real shorties from, six shorties from Queen Ursula.
Yeah, I have a 30 clip maximum. I don't, yeah. If I go beyond that, I refuse to.
Yeah.
Because the other words, you only use about 20 of these.
No,
maybe.
No, well, we use a lot of the clips, but the point
I know, but I'm just saying it's just like, if I had produced 70 clips,
no,
I
wouldn't be able to
keep track of them. I don't know how you do it.
No, I'm the podfather.
Yeah.
So there's real work that goes into this. It's a full-time gig. You know, do it on vacations. Don't take more than two shows off an entire year. So it's what we do. And we've got four more years, so support us now. Unless you want to be two more years.
We got 8 days off coming.
What? 8 days off. When's that?
Yeah, two a year, you said.
Yeah, we never do them in a row, though. No, we
let's
never
do them in a row. Let's do the next eight shows off.
Yeah, well, you can tell John's not happy. I'm always happy because, you know, I just don't have the same. I don't have as many homes as John. I don't have as many children. It's easy for me. John's got a whole empire to support. So we thank
every two compounds.
We thank everybody, $50 and above. And just like Hollywood, we like to give special props to people who support us with more, like executive and associate executive producers, just like Hollywood does. And the cool thing is you get a credit, which is just like Hollywood's credits, because you can use it anywhere. Hollywood recognizes that. So it's like being a part of Hollywood, but not being lame, or as the trolling would say, fake and gay. So $200 or above, you get an associate executive producer credit. You can use it on imdb.com, your LinkedIn profiles, your resume. And if anyone ever questions that, we'll be happy to vouch for you. We have done it several times over the years. We'll also read your note. $300 and above, executive producer, same credit applies, that you can use that anywhere that Hollywood credits are used. And we will read your note. And I will start it off with our top executive producer, which is a switcheroo from Sean Homan. He's in Noblesville, Indiana, and he comes in with the heavenly number, the Striper Boost 777.77, and he says it's a switcheroo and birthday donation for his wife. She becomes a dame with this donation, doesn't get any crazier, and henceforth shall be known as Dame Liz of Roxyville. Thank you for your courage, fellas. God bless Gitmo Nation. And please visit stealtharms.net and design your platypus today. The finest 1911 double stack pistol that takes Glock 17 mags. It does. You have 17 rounds in that thing. The platypus. And thank you very much. And Dame Liz will be, or Liz will be Dame Liz of Roxyville today.
Meanwhile, we got Sir Meister Chit Chat in Little Rock, Arkansas, 34373. And he writes in, howdy, salutations, good day, gentlemen. This donation is a switcheroo. Number two, it's the first switcheroo. Two switcheroos at the top, first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
To de-douche my wife.
You've been de-douched.
He doesn't actually give her name, which is kind of odd.
Yeah, she's Mrs. Chit Chat.
Okay,
Mrs. And start her path to damehood as a knight, Sir Master Chit Chat of Harmony Homestead. Must a lady befitting his title as they begin their journey of forging? Some people write convoluted sentences. As they begin their journey of forging human resources, having babies, I think that's what that means. The lineage must be pure and sourced of royal stock.
That makes sense.
Ah, I see what she, what he's up to. Got to give her damehood so they have royal stock. We have been going through fertility treatments over 3 years and are attempting our second IVF transfer in the next few weeks. As such, I'd like to request prayers and a double helping of baby-making karma. Always a winner. Thank you guys for all that you do and helping us tap into the promise of where two or more gather in my name, there I will be. Huzzah to four more years, Sir Master Chit Chat of Harmony Homestead in Little Rock.
So we'll give that to Mrs. Chit Chat of Harmony Homestead.
Yes.
And I already prayed for you when I saw the note, so here's your baby making karma.
You've got karma.
All right. Beautiful. Let us know. And remember, you got to name it after us.
Yes.
Jean Naus is in Petrolia, Ontario, Scandinavia, 333.61, which is a $500 Scandinavian donation in dollarettes. And it's from Jean Naus, the matriarch of Naus Drywalling Clan. Get your drywall completed by No Agenda Night, based near Petrolia, Canada. This donation is in honor of my wonderful husband Herman's 76th birthday on January 27th. Besides having an amazingly wonderful human being, he is the patriarch of our tribe of 5 children and 17 grandchildren. No baby making karma for you. We are a family of homeschoolers, lovers of Jesus, lovers of truth, and lovers of Canada. Thank you, John and Adam, for helping us wade through the nonsense that culture is trying to present to us. We are also thrilled to hear Adam's testimony about his new life with Jesus. Keep up the good work, guys. From Gene. And we thank you very much. And on the list, taken care of.
Brian Skelton in Cedar Park.
Oh, Brian. Everybody knows Brian from the No Agenda meetups in Austin. Brian, he's a good guy.
333. Well, this is a bunch of hogwash, he writes. PayPal won't let me change my donation amount to less than 333, but whatever. It's been too long since John got any of my money to so enjoy. Thank you guys for the best podcast in the universe in the morning.
Brian has, we know Brian very well. He's a good guy. We love Brian when he donates.
Well, you love him anyway.
Now, how would I pronounce this? Yahola Salt Corporation? J-O-L-L-A? La Jolla. La Jolla Salt Corporation. La Jolla. So
I'm guessing it's in La Jolla.
It doesn't say, but it's
210. No, it doesn't say at
210-60. Decimate dry skin with a luxurious sea salt scrub from LaJollaSalt.com. Enjoy the dazzling moisture and exfoliating power of our small batch sea salt scrubs handmade by the sea in the village of La Jolla. For complete decimation, kick it in for a bundle of 10 at LaJollaSalt.com, putting the sea back in sea salt scrub. LaJollaSalt.com. And thank you for your courage. See, you're almost doing this right, La Jolla Salt Corporation, LaJollaSalt.com. You need to send some to John and I so we can try your products. Now, we can't say anything. We can't say if it's good. We can't say anything. We don't know. I would like a luxurious sea salt scrub.
Yeah, you could use one.
Wow, really?
Eat what?
You're rude.
That's not disparaging. Eli the Coffee Guy in Bensonville, Illinois, 20126. The last episode was dynamite. Ever since listening, I've been using ChatGPT to plan my meals.
A lot of lemon, I guess.
There was somebody who did a posting that they did the whole meal and recipes and everything, and then they produced it. This was on Twitter, and it was aimed at us. And they did the whole thing, and they found these, and then they produced it, and they said, it tasted pretty good, but he had a picture of this food.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It looked like somebody threw up on a dish.
It was AI slop. There it is.
If I keep it up, he continues, my guess is within a year, I'll get at least one recipe for bugs.
Let us know when you do.
I also asked ChatGPT, what the best brand of roasted coffee was. And what do you know? The AI told me it was Gigawatt Coffee.
Nah, that's crazy.
It also advised me to use code ITM20 for 20% off my order. Gotta love technology. Stay caffeinated, Eli, the coffee guy. Yeah. $201.26.
Yeah, I'm drinking the gigawatts this morning. The espresso.
Yeah, we noticed.
Oh, please. You already made that joke 5,000 times.
I know I'm... Well, maybe.
Sir Angel.
I hate it when people do that.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Then I shall remind you when you do it.
Yeah, you should. It's bad form.
Yes. Sir Angel of Smyrna, who was knighted on the last show in Smyrna, Georgia, $200, associate executive producer credit for him. And he says, thank you for the advice on your Thursday show. Ah, this is our stock tip guy. I created a Substack where my story and stock market theory will be published in full. No Agenda Nation can find it at Angel of Smyrna, with a Y, Angel of Smyrna, .substack.com. For anyone who missed the Thursday show, the theory details how the Federal Reserve appears to be overtly influencing market direction, specifically the S&P 500, in conjunction with a broader consortium of actors that are orchestrating events in the world around us. All chapters will be published by 7:05 Eastern time on Saturday, so it will be available to everyone by the time you read this note on the show. I'm not expecting to make any money for what I'm sharing, and will publish everything for free publicly. I'm following the value for value model that you've pioneered, so I've included a PayPal donation link within the story for anyone feeling generous. Donations are appreciated but never expected. Yours truly, Sir Angel Smyrna. And if you make money on it, send some to your No Agenda show. I'm just
saying. He's going to make money. The reason is he's got a screwy.
It's very crazy. But I think it.
That's what the market players. They're just borderline inveterate gamblers. We've talked about this type of personality before. And the people that play the market is very similar. Some people are very lucky. They're very good. They have a sense of things, but they're always looking for an edge that nobody else has. This guy has one of those. Possibly. There's no way of knowing it for a while, whether he has this edge, but it always takes someone who's a little nutty to come up with something that might just work. Mm. And so I bet you he does very well.
I think so. But
got him started.
We did. We got him the Substack. It was our fault. By the way, Clip Custodian in the troll room says that Trump is bad for the show. This Trump 2.0 is no good. He needs to do something wacky. There's something to it. Trump is not good for the show.
I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree. And so would Linda Lupatkin, is in Lakewood, Colorado. She's up next. And she says, and she came up with $200 and asked for jobs, Carmen, for a resume that gets results, she writes. Visit imagemakersinc.com, your go-to for all your executive resume and job search needs. That's Imagemakers Inc. with a K. And work with Linda Lou, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. You thought, Karma.
And we're almost at the end of our associate executive producers, and therefore this donation segment. Anonymous comes in with $200 and says, this donation is because you've ruined all other podcasts for me that have commercial interruptions. Thanks. You're welcome.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Good. That's what we're here for. Yeah. Last on the list is the Indy No Agenda Meetup in Greenwood, Indiana. And they have a switcheroo that came with $200 as the Indy No Agenda Meetup raffle donation on behalf of Gary Goodman. All available karma to Gary and those who need it.
Oh, okay. So we'll do a karma there. And might as well do a goat.
You've got karma.
And we do have a meetup report from the Indiana crew. Damonette put that together for us. It's always a good one. We have several good meetup reports today, including one from Tokyo. So look forward to that in our second donation segment. Thank you to everyone who supported us today. We'll be mentioning the rest of our donors and supporters in the value for value model, $50 and above, in the second segment. And once again, thank you to our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1,733.
Our formula is this. We go out. We hit people in the mouth. Water. Water.
Shut up, Wayne.
Shut up.
I have a couple of clips about Rat Note.
Rat Note?
Well, that's what they're calling it, at least on NPR.
When TikTok looked doomed in the U.S., many users quickly signed up for another Chinese-owned app called Xiaohongshu in protest.
Xiaohongshu.
Known as Red Note in English. What happened next was a surprise, as NPR's Owen Tsao reports.
TikTok refugees, that's how American users are describing themselves as a connect with the Chinese community on Red Note. Until last week, the app was mainly used in China. However, frustration over a potential ban has led many TikTok users to switch to Red Note.
I'm a female farmer, so of course I convinced my husband to let me get pigs for Valentine's Day last year.
31-year-old Tyler Ross is one of them. Her day job is in human resources, but she also posts videos on Red Note of her life on a farm in Central Virginia. She says her lifestyle is far from the typical image of American farming, and the response she's got has exceeded her expectations.
It's, I think, interesting to see people's reaction when they only know things from the media or TV, to see different types of ways of doing things. So everyone's been super friendly. They all love our animals.
The videos of chickens and dogs she posts gained her 18,000 followers within 2 days of starting her account.
Once all of the chickens have had their breakfast,
now, a week later, that number has nearly tripled, surpassing her TikTok followers. Lizzie Shen, a teacher from Eastern China, is one of Ross's new followers. She shared a picture of her own garden in the comments. She says that seeing videos on Red Note has given her a strong connection to ordinary Americans.
I like Rat Note.
I like Rat Note too. I think that's what we're going to call
it. Hold on a second. Let me see. That's not a bad show title either, actually.
That's what I wrote it down for.
Yeah. Shall I? Let me see. Hold on. You think? I wonder if it's available. Let's see.
Rat Note.
Oh, you never know. .com. Yeah. Let me be quicker than the producers are. Now it's taken. Rat Note. Too bad.
Nuts.
Rat Note.
So to follow that up, I have a TikTok clip of some girl who went to Rat Note.
Yes.
And she just fell all over herself about how great things are in China thanks to what she's learned from Rat Note. This is the Talk Chinese propaganda clip.
For my Chinese friend, I just want to tell you some discussions Americans are having right now. All of us agree and are astounded at how cheap and affordable your groceries, housing, and cars are. I have been watching you guys' grocery haul videos, and it is blowing my mind. America never. A lot of us also cannot believe how advanced your country is, because we were always shown and told that you guys were a third world, like, starving country. That's just not the case. The fact that 95% of you guys own homes is mind-boggling. It is, like, seriously almost impossible to own a home anywhere in the U.S. You have to work immensely hard. How about y'all's law school is, like, $800 a year, and I think that your homeless rate is, like, 0.18%. I have people living outside of tents outside of my building. Like, it's terrible here. What? I saw somebody say earlier that a cancer medication that they get is about $20 in China, and they are paying $22,000 a month in the U.S. for that same medication. What? A lot of you guys were also thinking that it's propaganda, that our kids sometimes, if they can afford it and their parents want to, will put them in a bulletproof, like, backpack to go to school. They also do stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance every single day before class starts. This whole experience might just be the most awake and united I think I've ever seen this country. We are pissed at our government, number one. Number two, astounded. Absolutely astounded.
Yeah. Well, listen, talker, Rat Note. Do you think that they can talk smack about their government? I don't think so.
No, of course not.
They won't even let episodes in on Apple Podcasts, please.
No, but they love clips like this.
Yeah. I have... Oh, man, the propaganda wheel is turning up again, because it's just, I mean, forget about Stargate. Forget about a simple blood test that Joe Ellison formerly known as Larry, will immediately result within 48 hours of a personalized cancer vaccine. Who needs any of that? It's the only thing Ozempic can't do. Ozempic is the magical mystery drug. Dr. Mike, tell us all about it.
In medical news, new research shows the diabetes and weight loss drug Ozempic could cut the risk for kidney disease. Fox Medical Team's Dr. Mike joins us live now this morning with more on this.
Kidney disease, John. It's amazing.
Dr. Mike, second time in a day. How did I get so lucky?
Almost every day. Danielle, Deborah, Caroline, all of you have to hear this. Even in patients who have diabetes, it's been shown now to reduce the risk of kidney failure and even heart problems and even death by 24%. So the data just keeps going and going and going. Recently, there was a study looking at the same drug for congestive heart failure, a significant reduction in risk of stroke, heart attack, as well as congestive heart failure symptoms. So it's the real deal. Now, is this effective? Some people think it has to do with inflammation. That's what it's all about. Inflammation. It reduces inflammation.
John, it reduces inflammation. That's what it's all about. Inflammation. They're going crazy. They're letting any Yahoo doctor on. Just, oh, you got to get it. Don't worry. It's not for everybody. I mean, if you just want to lose 5 pounds, you don't want it. But you really do.
So, Dr. Mike, you know, we've been hearing about, you know, now it can help cut kidney disease. You won't drink as much alcohol, or maybe you don't smoke as much. You're losing weight. I mean, that seems like a lot of benefit, but we know that there is, you know, some negative to this as well. So, I mean, but the benefits sound really good, though, too.
Well, yeah. Look, there's always something that can happen in terms of nausea, vomiting, bloating, constipation. Some people just don't tolerate this, and it's not for everybody. People with multiple endocrine neoplasia 1 syndrome, people with a history of pancreatitis should not be using this. But the proof is in the pudding,
The
amount of data coming out showing tremendous benefit is really a game changer. And so when it comes to either diabetes or obesity, then it's a win-win situation. By the way, I'm not talking about people that just want to lose 5 pounds.
I'm talking about people with real issues
that will benefit from this.
So I looked at this study because the data just keeps on coming. It's been around. This drug has been around for 20 years, but it still just keeps on coming. We never knew. It's amazing. The FDA says will update the label to apply for patients with chronic kidney disease. It may be effective in treating blood clotting, respiration, and infection. All of this was unexpected, as reported in the Washington Post. In addition, this study supports research that GLP-1 drugs can improve mental health and reduce the risk of suicide. Yes, you won't need your Prozac anymore. It's amazing. It's just an amazing drug.
Well, they still haven't got to the big boy. They're waiting for that one.
Yeah,
In the book.
Yeah, it's in the book. Erectile dysfunction.
Yep.
we're waiting for the big boy. Meanwhile, across town, we have a change. We have a change. We have a change. Bird flu. There's a change. Here's the change.
Mass cull of poultry has been ordered after an outbreak of bird flu on a farm in Yorkshire. The Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs says all poultry on the premises near Hornsey in the East Riding will be humanely killed. A protection zone of 3 kilometres has been put in place around the site, which hasn't been identified. Tests found the H5N5 strain of the highly pathogenic avian influenza virus was present at that Hornsey site. It is the first case of the strain found in poultry or captive birds in England during the current outbreak.
Notice it's the H5N5.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Not H1N5. This is
no, it's H5N1.
Either way, it's not there. And this is what really, now I know something's up, because they brought Rachel Maddow back. They said, listen, look, you're getting $13 million a year. You've got to do a show every night of President Trump's
first... No, she's getting $25 million a year.
Listen.
Down from 30.
Listen, we know we cut you back to $25 million a year. I know you want to be a podcaster real bad because we know that's where the money is, but we can only pay you $25 million a year, and you have to do one show a day during the first 100 days of President Trump's 2.0. And this is what she does.
You know what else isn't a popular idea? Bird flu. Bird flu. Today in Long Island, New York, a duck farm that has been in operation since 1908 shut down. They had to shut down to start the process of euthanizing their entire flock of 100,000 ducks. Because at that farm in Long Island, New York, they've got a confirmed outbreak of bird flu.
Where do you think this report is going?
I don't know.
Okay.
Trump.
And no. Bird flu has now killed more than 130 million birds in the United States in all 50 states.
No. The people have killed 130 million birds. The bird flu didn't kill them. The people killed them.
It's in 28 states. They're now testing their dairy cows for it as well. Because
it has jumped from birds to raw milk cows.
Yep.
Which means one of the risk factors they're now alerting people to for this thing is consumption of or contact with raw milk. It's a risk factor now for bird flu.
Contact with, you can't even get it on your hand.
Can't even touch it.
Don't touch it.
Nearly 70 people in the United States have been infected with bird flu thus far. We've even had deaths of people's pet cats. Because the cats have drunk raw milk meant for human consumption. The raw milk was from cows infected with bird flu. It gave the cats bird flu, and then the cats died.
Oh, the cats died. Say it's not so. Well, can the CDC help?
The CDC just sent urgent guidance to American hospitals.
Urgent guidance.
Advising hospitals that when people appear at the hospital with flu this flu season, people shouldn't just be tested for normal flu. They need to be tested for bird flu
as well. Testing.
Because that needs to be handled differently. And anybody who tests positive for bird flu needs to be separated from other patients. Hospital staff need to know about it in order to wear appropriate protective clothing to protect themselves.
You need PPE to be around raw milk and bird flu.
I say the CDC just sent that urgent advice to American hospitals, but when I say they just sent it, what I mean specifically is they sent that advice last week while President Biden was still president.
Oh.
Because now that President Trump is president,
there you go.
He has ordered that the CDC and all U.S. health agencies should no longer release any information to anyone on anything.
This is the new one, you see. This is how they're going to try and do bird flu, whatever, by saying Trump wouldn't let the CDC report anything. We don't know. We're in the dark. We could be under extreme threat from H5N5 and raw milk.
Not just to the public, but to scientists and doctors and hospitals. And that includes the CDC's flagship health alert publication for doctors and scientists called MMWR, Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. This week, CDC was scheduled to publish several MMWR reports, including three about this burgeoning bird flu outbreak that is happening and rapidly progressing right now.
Oh, my God. So you were kind of right in both cases. It's about raw milk and about Trump. It's a twofer.
Meanwhile, Trump's nominee to run Health and Human Services for the U.S. government reportedly approached one of the nation's largest raw milk producers.
Uh-oh.
Asking him to please become an advisor to the FDA in Washington. This is a man whose company has been the subject of at least 11 different lawsuits stemming from contamination of his raw milk products. This farmer has also been the subject of 13 recalls, including for E. coli and listeria and campylobacter and salmonella and, yes, bird flu in his raw milk.
No!
His products are currently barred from sale in California for making so many people sick. One salmonella outbreak his company is being sued for resulted in 171 people being sickened, including some people who got kidney failure.
Oh, my goodness. Well, or as I would say, goodness gracious. Here is the final one.
This is an epidemic where the CDC...
Wait, stop. Why didn't she name this guy? Or the company?
It's McAfee Farms, but she didn't... I don't know why she didn't name him. But that's who it is, McAfee Farms. Here's the kicker.
This is an epidemic where the CDC is advising hospitals how to deal with people coming in with flu, making sure they're tested for it, telling hospitals how they can protect patients and protect their own health workers. The CDC is warning that raw milk from an infected cow, not only just drinking it, but potentially even just being splashed in the face with it. Yes. They're saying contact with raw milk from an infected cow is one of the ways people can be exposed to this emerging epidemic of bird flu. And while that is how the last administration was trying to get their arms around this emerging threat as recently as the end of last week, this new administration this week says, first of all, let's get the raw milk people here to Washington to advise the FDA, presumably on all the benefits of raw milk. And in the meantime, stop releasing any information on this bird flu thing, anything. Honestly, it sounds scary.
Scary.
Maybe if we don't talk about it, maybe it'll go away. And by the way, pay no attention to the price of eggs.
We're all paying attention to the price of eggs. So that's so stretching so far now that that's all they got.
Well, they got something.
They got something. They do have something. But man, oh man, oh man.
I think that relates to this clip, which is the foreign aid stoppage.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's a lot. Oh, yeah. There's another Al Jazeera report.
The day he was inaugurated, President Donald Trump signed an executive order basically saying a pause needed to happen for 90 days when it comes to U.S. foreign assistance. Now, it's not unusual for presidents and their incoming teams to pause future contracts, but we now know that is not what is happening here. The Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, signed a memorandum basically pausing all U.S. foreign assistance spending as of right now. So in the middle of the night, local time, all of these people and companies and contractors started getting memos basically saying a stop work notice. So what exactly does that mean? Except for aid to Israel and Egypt and immediate food assistance, it means all U.S. foreign assistance is going to be paused. What does that do? That's about $68 billion in 2023. It went to things like building democracy, peace forces and security, building schools, building hospitals, mine clearing, a program that gives AIDS to people with HIV. That's going to
be. Did she say a program that gives AIDS to people with HIV?
That's what it sounded like.
Let me
hear
that again.
Forces and security, building schools, building hospitals, mine clearing, a program that gives AIDS to people with HIV.
Wow.
Yeah, she said AIDS.
That program should be stopped. I agree. Do not give AIDS to people with HIV. That's not good.
Building schools, building hospitals, mine clearing, a program that gives AIDS to people with HIV. That's going to be paused. So it is going to have a very large impact on the community here that does this sort of work, but really across the globe, people are going to see this impact immediately. For example, if your town has a school being built with U.S. Foreign assistance, that construction is supposed to stop immediately.
This is very interesting. As an American, as an American citizen, I think it's, I presume he's doing this to take stock of what we're actually giving to whom and where. I know there's, you know, there's been all kinds of, and a lot of this is through
NGOs,
exactly. All the NGOs where they're the cutouts.
Sucking this dry.
Yes, and I think it's a lot of money. And so maybe we'll get a little appreciation of what we've been doing for other people without helping ourselves. I know I can just hear the Europeans going, oh, you only care about yourself, stupid Jack. I have an NPR report on this if you're interested. For a little
Sure.
I don't know if it's that guy.
An internal memo obtained by NPR calls for U.S. humanitarian and development programs to stop their work.
And blocks virtually all new foreign assistance.
Yes, there he is.
The directive expands on an executive order that President Trump issued earlier in the week.
NPR Global Health correspondent Fatma Tanis joins us now. Fatma, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
And please tell us about this memo.
So it was signed by Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and it says that U.S.
U.S. foreign assistance will be frozen while a comprehensive review of all programs can be undertaken to, quote, ensure that all foreign assistance is aligned with President Trump's foreign policy agenda. Now, the memo says the review will be completed within 85 days, and that means for nearly 3 months, there's going to be no new funding for any foreign assistance, and programs that have already been approved for funding will have to stop work. There are some exemptions, such as foreign military financing for Israel and Egypt, and also emergency food aid.
Okay, you want to hear more? We hear more about from NPR, which is
let's play that out, and they have a follow-up clip.
NBX here.
What kind of programs are likely to be affected?
It's everything from the building of roads to vaccination programs, and there are also aid efforts in sensitive conflict zones. These are often logistically complicated programs, so once you pause them, it's hard to get things running back up again immediately. And, you know, Scott, we're talking about a lot of investment, around $60 billion worth. That's how much the U.S. provides in foreign assistance annually, and it's the biggest financial supporter of development aid in the world, so this is going to have a huge impact across the board. And there's a lot that's still unclear. There are questions about how this is going to affect, you know, aid to Ukraine and Taiwan, for example, also critical global health programs like PEPFAR. That's the U.S. effort to combat HIV around the world, and it's credited with having saved 25 million lives.
By giving AIDS to people with HIV.
What might happen to people who work for these programs?
So until this review is over, these U.S.-funded programs are likely going to have to cease operations, even furlough or lay off their staff. Employees of USAID, the agency primarily responsible for administering humanitarian and development aid, will be keeping their jobs for now. But I should also note that many of the organizations that partner with the U.S. on foreign assistance are based in the U.S., and they employ people here and overseas. So this is going to impact overseas staff in the short term, but it will also lead to layoffs in the U.S. if it continues.
Yeah, okay. That's a third clip, but what do you want to play as a follow-up?
No, play the third clip, then I'll play mine, which is about pulling the money from the WHO.
Oh, okay.
What kind of reaction from aid groups?
People are shocked and really worried. A senior official at USAID told me that, quote, the work stop order is completely reckless and disruptive, and said it was draconian. The official asked for anonymity because they were not authorized to speak on behalf of the agency. I also spoke to the leader of an organization that partners with USAID. They offer humanitarian assistance. And that person told me the administration has, quote, thrown a grenade right into the middle of foreign assistance. This person also spoke on the condition of anonymity, fearing retribution against their organization for speaking out. They said that they would have to pull out their staff who are providing critical services in the field and also lay off U.S. staff. The person said that, quote, we can't afford to keep funding our programs because we don't know if we will be reimbursed per our contracts with U.S. agencies. Now, aid experts are also warning that this move could have a destabilizing effect in countries where humanitarian aid is critical. I spoke to Abby Maxman. She's the president of Oxfam America. It's a charity that does not take funding from the U.S. government, and here's what she said.
No, they just steal it and lose it.
It's having seismic impacts for the entire global aid system.
AIDS.
And really,
the AIDS, everything's about the aid system. I don't know. There's something about AIDS here.
That it's having seismic impacts for the entire global aid system. And really, frankly, it's a cruel decision that has life or death consequences for millions of people around the world.
She's called on the Trump administration to reverse the move before it's too late.
I bet it's a lot more than $60 billion. I bet it's just an enormous amount. Maybe $60 billion a month.
It's a lot.
Those NGOs, it's crazy. That's all the refugee resettlement program in Austin alone is $1 billion a year. That's
these
an
guys
NGO.
Are just stealing our money.
Yes. All right,
here's the WHO clip. There's another money waster. I didn't realize, I was under the impression that, well, maybe there's some sharing going on, but I guess the WHO is going to go under
the World
because
Health
of
Organ-
us.
Oh, sorry. Here we go.
The World Health Organization says it is reviewing its priorities to cut costs
following U.S. President Donald Trump's decision to withdraw from the body. The United States is the largest donor to the WHO, but shortly after his inauguration on Monday, Trump signed an executive order stating his country's withdrawal. The AFP news agency reports WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus sent an email to its employees on Thursday. In it, he said the U.S. decision has made the organization's financial situation more acute. Ooh. He said they are now reviewing which activities to prioritize with a reduced resource envelope. He went on to say that recruitment will be frozen except in the most critical areas and that travel expenses will be dramatically cut back.
No, oh, there goes my sweet
WHO spokesperson Christian Lindmeier described the U.S. decision as a concern for global health. He noted the WHO both provides critical information to the U.S. and receives information from it so as to have the best possible response in case of outbreaks.
Mm.
Another issue for Rachel to pick up on.
Oh, she will.
Yeah.
Some war news now. War news. President Trump.
I got war news too.
Well, let me start with my war news. My war news may be better than your war news. I mean, I've got good war news.
Donald Trump has always insisted there would have been no war in Ukraine if he had been president at the time. On Friday, Vladimir Putin backed him up, also taking the opportunity to repeat Trump's false claim that he won the 2020 election.
It's a claim.
It's a claim. Not a false claim.
It's a claim. But Putin backs up his false claim.
I must agree with him that if he had been president, if his victory hadn't been stolen in 2020, then maybe there would not have been a crisis in Ukraine that emerged in 2022.
Putin said he was ready for talks with the new U.S. president.
This has got to gall everybody, and these reporters must be beside themselves because this is what Trump's been saying all along. And whatever. And so now Putin comes out and says it. Oh, brother.
Well, even better, he says, if it hadn't been stolen, then the war would never have happened. If you guys hadn't stolen that election.
If his victory hadn't been stolen in 2020, then maybe there would not have been a crisis in Ukraine that emerged in 2022.
I mean, Putin loves trolling as well. He's good.
Putin said he was ready for talks with the new U.S. president on ending the fighting, but was waiting for signals from Washington. This despite Trump saying even before his inauguration that he had been working on setting up a meeting. Trump has upped his rhetoric this week, saying he would put pressure on Moscow by lowering global oil prices, and he threatened new sanctions and tariffs on Russia if the war didn't stop. But Putin dismissed this possibility.
He's not only a smart person, he is a pragmatic person, and I can hardly imagine that decisions will be made that harm the American economy itself.
For Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky, Putin's latest statements are a naked attempt to flatter Trump.
Specifically, he is trying to manipulate the U.S. president's desire to achieve peace. I am confident that no Russian manipulations will succeed any longer.
What?
This is a huge blunder.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't say that, well, Trump is a dumb shit because he's going to get manipulated by Putin and expect him to give you money. This was a huge blunder.
I am confident that no Russian manipulations will succeed any longer.
Kyiv has warned against any Putin-Trump peace talks that exclude Ukraine and European allies. But the Russian president says there can be no serious talks with Ukraine unless the West pushes Zelensky to cancel a 2022 decree that prohibits him from negotiating with the Russian leader.
No, don't worry about that. All right, I have more war news, but your war news is up next.
I got some offbeat war news. It's like, because it's not being reported. You know anything about the Syria returning home story?
Probably.
No,
not,
you don't. You have to go to Al Jazeera.
The head of the UN's refugee agency says there's been a huge increase in the number of Syrians who want to return home. Almost 30% of the Syrian refugees living in Middle Eastern countries now say they want to go back. That's up from almost none last year. The shift follows the ousting of President Bashar al-Assad in December.
Oh, that's good. Meanwhile,
that's like 200,000 people.
Meanwhile, President Trump is seemingly threatening to drop the bomb.
President Trump says he would like to see Jordan, Egypt, and other Arab nations increase the number of Palestinian refugees they're accepting from Gaza. Trump says he would like to, quote, clean the whole thing out. He also says that he will now allow the U.S. to send 2,000-pound bombs to Israel, which had been paused by President Biden. Hamas and Israel agreed to a ceasefire deal last week. So far, seven of the remaining hostages taken by Hamas militants in the 2023 attack have returned to Israel. For its part, Israel released 200 Palestinian prisoners. Meanwhile, Israeli defense forces say they will not be able to withdraw from southern Lebanon today, which is a violation of the ceasefire agreement with Hezbollah. Both sides have 60 days to remove soldiers from the region, but Israel is now accusing Hezbollah and the Lebanese army of not upholding their side of the deal. Lebanon says Israel is getting in the way of doing their job.
Yeah, not in this report. President Trump apparently has said, hey, I got these 2,000-pound bombs I'm going to give to Israel.
That's interesting. Yeah. I have the Al Jazeera report about the Lebanon.
The Lebanon.
Overlooky.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is blaming Lebanon for the delay in implementing the terms of the ceasefire there, saying the Lebanese army isn't upholding its end of the deal. Israeli troops were supposed to withdraw on Sunday, but Netanyahu says there aren't enough Lebanese soldiers in border villages for them to do so. He also says Hezbollah has not pulled back sufficiently from the border region. Lebanon denies the claims and is urging Israel to respect the deadline. The November deal ended more than a year of cross-border hostilities between the Israeli army and Hezbollah, as well as 2 months of a large-scale Israeli assault on Lebanon. Al Jazeera's Zainab Hodda has more now from southern Lebanon.
We are in Burj Al Maluk, a village in southern Lebanon, roughly 4 kilometers from the border with Israel. Early on Saturday, Israeli troops and bulldozers approached the village, and they closed one of the main roads using earth mounds and barricades. The Israeli army will not be pulling out from territory along the border in line with a ceasefire agreement, that 60-day deadline. They're supposed to leave Lebanon by early Sunday. The Israeli Prime Minister saying that Lebanon is not upholding its side of the agreement. It is claiming that the Lebanese army is still not able to ensure that Hezbollah is not, doesn't reestablish its military presence along the border. Now, Lebanon and Lebanese officials are demanding that Israel respects that ceasefire agreement. They believe that these are excuses and that the army is not able to deploy simply because of the presence of Israeli troops. Israel's position is supported by the Trump administration, with the White House saying, quote, there is an urgent need for a short and temporary extension of that ceasefire deal.
It's still a mess.
There's one thing that's interesting and no one's picked up on, which is the ratio of Palestinian, because of the nature of the, you could say it was racism, or it's like this, it's just something that I no one's picked up on. You had the release of four more hostages from the Hamas, and then 200 Palestinians were released, which means that one Jew is worth 50 Palestinians.
No, that's,
now, the idea that one Jew is worth 50 Palestinians, and which is pretty much the ratio for all these exchanges, is kind of an insult to the Palestinians.
You think?
At some point.
You think?
But no one has done anything with this ratio and ridiculed it.
You know what we call that? Best price.
Best price.
Our producers never cease to amaze me. I should have done this a little bit earlier when we were talking about Newsom's Inferno. One of our producers wrote in, and this is verified, I know who he is. He was there when the Vistra ML300 battery power storage facility was built, which is, I think, is still on fire. Do you know if it's
the one at Moss Point?
Yeah, the Vistra battery storage.
Yeah.
The original,
I think it still is on fire.
Yeah, listen to this. The original control system was Fluence, and that was a miserable failure that they replaced, and they replaced it with Ovation. So he's getting into the details of what these systems were. The risk of fire was always known at this facility. In fact, it was a high-risk register item for corporate. The problem is that the batteries were put into an old turbine building from a previous power plant that was on the site. This was considered a good thing because no new building was needed to be built, or permits, I presume. However, during the fire, this became a hindrance because the batteries were very close together and had limited fire suppression. This is a big blow to the California battery push. The chemistry of these batteries is extremely dangerous if they ignite. Think of all the EV fires you've seen and multiply that by 1,000. From a corporate standpoint, batteries were a big play for Vistra and their push for net zero. This may change things. My former boss, who still works for the company, called me about the fire when it happened, as I and others had raised some risk questions in the past. Another big problem with the battery sites is the digital inverters at the utility scale are not holding up.
No.
Yeah. This is... People are just telling him, like, no, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. By the way, I want to say hi to Rick Nelson and his lovely wife, who are in Fredericksburg this weekend. Hi, Rick. Just want to say hi. It's that old DJ thing. You always want to say hi when someone's in town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just me. DEI, little DEI laughs.
Yeah.
Okay. Joy Reid, how could you go wrong?
Federal employees are receiving emails warning that they could face repercussions if they do not snitch on their coworkers who work in diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility positions that might have gone unnoticed by government supervisors. DEI efforts date back to the civil rights movement to create more diverse and inclusive workplaces.
No, I don't think so. That's not true.
But on Thursday, Trump slammed them as absolute nonsense in remarks to the World Economic Forum.
My administration has taken action to abolish all discriminatory diversity, equity, and inclusion nonsense. And these are policies that were absolute nonsense throughout the government and the private sector. With the recent yet somewhat unexpected great Supreme Court decision just made, America will once again become a merit-based country.
What Supreme Court decision is he talking about?
I have no idea.
That's interesting.
I think he must be referring to that older one where they I think it was against Harvard where the Asian students couldn't get in because they were Asian. And it was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's some DEI for you. And a final one.
Federal employees are receiving emails.
Oh, no, I already got that one. Sorry, it's the same one. It's just longer. Never mind.
Well, then let's play a funny clip.
Okay.
TikTok clip on smelling hair.
I was watching a clip of J.D. Vance's kids just being kids yesterday, and that was awesome. But you know what I picked up on immediately? Trump never tried to smell him. Not one sniff was given.
Okay, that's good. You know the that Bill Gates thing where he talked about his meeting with Trump?
Yeah.
So there's more to that. There's two more pieces to that that I don't think anyone saw because... You know, why bother? Why bother and go look and see what else there was? So we talked about meeting with President Trump, and he had this 3-hour dinner, and la-di-da was also great. But he also talked about RFK Jr.
What do you make of RFK and vaccines and what he's saying about it and the position he's been given in this incoming administration?
Well, he wrote a book saying that Tony Fauci and I kill millions of children and make billions of dollars with vaccines. And, you know, people can judge for themselves whether that's correct or not.
Ahead of Trump's election, the Wall Street Journal reported...
Isn't this good?
How about denying it?
No, he didn't. You can judge for yourself. It wasn't millions. It was only a couple hundred thousand.
Ahead of Trump's election, the Wall Street Journal reported Gates donated around $50 million towards a pro-Harris super PAC.
But you didn't actually ever publicly endorse her. Why was that?
In my role as chairman of the Gates Foundation, you know, we've had incredible relationships with...
I missed that one myself. Hold on.
In my role as chairman of the Gates Foundation...
Wow. In my role as chairman, there's a lie coming up. Here's a lie. I did give $50 million to the super PAC, but I'm going to lie about it.
In my role as chairman of the Gates Foundation, you know, we've had incredible relationships with every administration. You know, the progress since the year 2000, you know, cutting childhood death in half, cutting HIV deaths in half, you know, that's due to partnerships with rich world governments where the U.S. is in absolute, the most generous. And so, you know, I look forward to working together with every administration.
Yeah, humana. And then the final one, and I'm so surprised that no one got this. I mean, all they had was Bill Gates having dinner with President Trump, but this is the killer.
The Journal previously reported on Gates's ties to Jeffrey Epstein, including that Epstein threatened Gates over an affair he had. The two met a few times, Gates says, to discuss philanthropy.
Do you think, looking back at that moment, that you were being played?
Well, Jeffrey, in retrospect, I was foolish to spend any time with him, and he sort of, you know, got time with various people by spending time with other people. So yes, I think I was quite stupid. You know, I thought it would help me with global health philanthropy. In fact, it failed to do that, and it was just a huge mistake.
Has it made you more wary of connections?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, are you kidding?
Yeah. Now, you're not elected, but I think it's fair to say that you could probably pick up the phone to any world leader out there. Who's the last world leader that you spoke to?
Because of how engaged the foundation is in these global health issues, I talk to world leaders a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, so in the last month, I've talked to President Macron, Ursula von der Leyen.
Do any of them ring you up and ask you for advice on how to handle Donald Trump?
No, I've never had that. You know, I've had people be quizzical about maybe what they should do, but they're on their own on that one.
That guy is a scourge. He's a scourge. Did you see the Jon Stewart podcast with AOC?
I only saw clips, part of it. I did not sit down and actually watch it, which I should do.
Well, no, you shouldn't.
She's off the rails.
Yeah, she went way off the rails with John, and
he's off the rails, too.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I don't even know why he's still doing his podcast. I mean, he's got gigs and stuff. It's not a great podcast, but this was a humorous little moment.
There need to be Democrats who walk the walk and talk the talk. There is an insane amount of hypocrisy. And the hypocrisy is what gets...
What was that?
Yeah, he grunts into the microphone a lot.
What was that noise? That was horrible.
He's going...
An insane amount of hypocrisy. And the hypocrisy is what gets exploited to use the cynicism. And wherever there's a hypocritical window, for example, I think one of the most biggest examples of this is insider trading in Congress. Like,
dude, I don't know if I do I give snaps? I don't know what the kids do anymore, but like, dude,
it's
so crazy.
It's so crazy. It's
crazy.
I mean,
do you think they think it's crazy? Are they just discovering this? Your No Agenda show has been talking about this for how long?
15, 16, 17 years.
Like, this is the thing. It's like people think that everyday people are stupid. I'm like, do you all really think that people don't see this shit? Like,
they sit on a committee, they get information about a drug or a contract or a thing. They immediately make a call. The stockbroker changes things and their portfolio swells.
Explodes. It explodes.
What are we doing?
And you're doing this on public trust,
right?
On like taxpayer finance, public, you know, facilities. Like, it, of course,
you're regulating the market that you're trading on.
Exactly, and
you
like
run the casino.
And then we're supposed to act like money doesn't only corrupt Republicans. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah, welcome to the party, AOC.
Jeez.
With the cussing, again, with the cussing.
Yeah, the cussing.
So much cussing. Yeah. And this is what I mean by, I don't know if we're going to make four more years, because she won't say that on MSNBC. Then she's all, I mean, this is only on podcasts. We've been such front runners of this. I don't know what to do. It's going to get hard. It's going to get very hard. All right, I'll let you play one more clip.
It's never going to get hard.
That's what she said. How do we get out of here? You got something?
Well, let's see. We can play a little. We can do the Korea thing. We can do the justice boring. Back off on abortion clinics. We can do the overlay where you did that.
Boring.
Porn site age verification.
Yes.
Is interesting, and I have a comment about it.
Now there you're talking.
The Supreme Court heard a challenge today to a Texas law that requires age verification for adult websites. A trade group representing adult entertainment performers and companies argues the law violates the First Amendment. After 2 hours of oral argument, a majority of the court signaled that states should be able to impose some kind of age requirement for such websites. This is to ensure that minors can't easily access obscene material online. But several justices also flagged concerns that their ruling could spill over and affect other First Amendment rights. A decision is expected by this summer. The Texas law from 2023 is similar to 19 others enacted around the United States. Under the Texas law, adult websites must require all users to submit personally identifying information verifying that they are at least 18 years old. Challengers, including the American Civil Liberties Union, argue the law is an unacceptable burden to access constitutionally protected free speech. Some adult sites have responded by blocking access entirely in states with age verification laws.
Yep, no porn in Texas.
Well, that's probably good for you.
Yeah.
So this is never going to fly. No one's going to put their... Prove your... besides that, there's a couple of things. This is ludicrous. This is the internet age. We're not living in the dark ages here. So someone says, hey, verify that, show us your, scan your driver's license to prove that you're such an age. So I'm a kid and I got I look at, hey, dad, can I buy your driver's license for a second? Yeah, sure. What do you need it for? It's a school project. Okay. And give it, boom, you scan the dad's license. You scan somebody else's license. You do something. When I was a kid,
here we go.
There were, everybody in high school had a fake ID so they could go drinking. The girls mostly, because in those days, before you got your actual license, you had a temporary license that was a piece of paper that could easily be changed, counterfeited, forged, whatever. So every girl every 16-year-old that I knew had a fake ID saying they were 21. And if they put enough makeup on, they can get away with it. And this is not going to work. It's dumb.
I think what they're all angling here, this is a globalist push, which they is a big...
universal ID.
Yeah, it was a big conversation in Davos.
Not going to happen.
It better happen.
You think it is.
I think it is.
You would.
Well, I would, yes. Because I like it. I think it's good.
Don't think it's good. You just paranoid for no good reason.
Login.gov is essentially already your digital ID. And you know what they do when you do AML, KYC type stuff? You know, it's like it's not just your driver's license. They also force you to take a selfie and then they compare the selfie. So you're going to have to say, Dad, can I borrow that for a second? And then, hey, Dad, look over here. And then you have to get his picture in the little
round. You're going to have pictures of your dad on your phone anyway.
No, it's not. I'm telling you, it's a lot more difficult. It's more difficult than you think.
Kids are smarter than you think then.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab. Yeah, on No Agenda.
You heard it here first. Kids are smarter than you think. That's some boomer talk for you. We're just two old guys. What do we know? And we do know that we have several people we'd like to thank who supported the show today. Value for value, $50 and above. John is going to take us through it.
And it's not that many.
No.
Brian Keefe is the top of the list in Sierra Vista, Arizona, 12433. I'm just going to read you. These are the guys. This is the last of the Trump inauguration donations. And by the way, Bryant in Sierra Vista, Arizona says, please tell John that the hardcover egg book is beautiful. We love it.
Nice.
TooManyEggs.com. Aaron Joyce in York, Pennsylvania, 12433. I'm just going to read the names and locations. Lauren Matthew in W-E-A-R-E, New Hampshire. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Sir Alan in Midlothian, Virginia. Baron Victor in Corvallis, Oregon. Jason Stewart in Manchester, Missouri. Garrett Fothery, I guess, in River Oaks, Texas, ITM. Eric Hanna in Chicago. And that's our group. He says, Eric says, the show is fantastic.
Oh, yes. Reminder that he asked me personally to remind everybody. Reminder. There's a Chicago meetup at Reggie's on the near the South Side this upcoming Saturday. Reggie's, Chicago. Okay, did it.
People could have overdone it a little better. Kevin McLaughlin of Concord, North Carolina shows up with 8008. Once again, he's the Archduke of Luna, lover of America, and boobs, which is what 8008 means. Sir Island Dog in Fernandina Beach, Florida, 7377. This is a switcheroo to recognize his lovely wife's birthday, Dame Janet of Dog Nation. She turns the big 70.
Wow. Nice.
She's on the list. Wayne Larcombe in Sunny Hills, Queensland, Australia, $65. Jonathan Sagers in Brie, Belgium. Oh, we get into the Belge.
Yes.
$63.33. Surprise, the Night of Astonishment in Yukon, Oklahoma, $54.44. For Scott Brinkley in North Canton, Ohio, $52.72. Brett Denton in Boise. 50. Oh, now they were at the 50s already. Already at the 50s. And starting with Brett Denton, then Melissa Alvarez in Ponte Verde Beach, Diane Schwanabek in Addison, Illinois. George Wooshit in Lavernia, Texas. And we're already done with Alexis Robles in Chula Vista, California, calling herself the Mexican Hobbit. And so that's it.
Yes, and Diane said congratulations to David Schwanabek on his 17 years of leadership at Twin Piping. If you want
that's
some piping,
twinpiping.com.
If you want some piping, Twin Piping are the guys for you. That's right. Thank you all very much. Especially you want to thank those who came in under 50 because they don't get mentioned, but that's for reasons of anonymity, which is important that we do not blow their cover. So I see you, $49.99. And of course, we have that wonderful opportunity to give us a sustaining donation by going to noagendadonations.com, sending any amount you want. Yes.
And there's one note you're going to have to read because it's a knighting note on line 67.
Line 67. Yeah, no, I have the note. It's all set. Yeah, that's Sir Nathan Lee. Yes, we have that note in the preparatory documents. Soon will just be done by AI. You don't have to worry about it. AI is going to take care of everything for us. It's going to be great.
Sure will, yeah.
NoAgendaDonations.com. Set your own amount and the frequency. Make it recurring. It is highly appreciated. NoAgendaDonations.com. Thank you for supporting us. Alex J. Myers wishes his daughter Jacqueline Wednesday Myers a very happy birthday. She turned 1 year old yesterday. Gene Naus says happy birthday to a wonderful husband, Herman, turning 76 on the 27th. Sir Island Dog wishes his wife, Dame Janet of Dog Nation, a very happy one. She turned 70 on the 27th. And Sean Holman of StealthArms.net wishes his wife, Liz, a happy birthday. And of course, we join in these celebrations to say happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. It's your birthday, yeah. Yes, indeed. We have a title change for Sir Nathan Lee. He becomes a baron today, and he says, I'm long over baron. Just wanted to announce it on this occasion. 1733 is an important note, a date, a show number for him, because that's when modern Freemasonry began. So we'd like to take this opportunity. He wants his baron title to be Baron Nathan Lee of Nantucket, whose title's so long you'll love it. He says with a grin, No Agenda Nation, I would like to thank you for your courage. Protected of Massachusetts, owned island of Nantucket. If that passes the board, I believe so. Very good. Happy to accommodate. Feel free to just say Baron Nathan Lee of Nantucket. Well, there you go. And, of course, you may know him as a cult fan, dark journalist for you UFO truthers. Baron Nathan Lee. Welcome, brother. Thank you very much for your continued support. He also does the Red 33 meetups in Boston. And he is a... Oops. Sorry. Yeah, a longtime supporter. We appreciate him. Then we do have the Dame, which came through a switcheroo. So if you can grab a blade there, that'd be very helpful.
Here you go, the big boy.
Step on up, thanks to your hubby who loves you very much. You become a dame today, and I'm very proud to pronounce you as Dame Liz of Roxyville. For you, we've got the Rent Boys and the Chardonnay. We have warm beer and cold women, and they probably won't like that. What else do we have? We have Mastacholi and margaritas, maybe nice. Beer and blunts, how about that? Geishas and sake, I don't know. Vodka Manila, bong hits and bourbon, sparkling cider and escorts. How about some ginger ale and gerbils? It's always a favorite. Also, we have the breast milk and pablum, but for you, Dame Liz, I'm thinking that mutton and mead will serve you just right. Your husband did not ask for anything else at the round table, but you, Dame Liz, go to noagendarings.com. There you will find our very attractive rings for knights and for dames. It's a signet ring. It's, if you can actually hit someone in the mouth, it'll leave a mark, or you can seal your important correspondence, your envelopes, with the wax that we provide with it. And as always, it comes with a certificate of authenticity signed by John and myself. You are a knight. I mean, a dame. Congratulations. Dame Liz.
No agenda meetups.
That's right. Connection is protection at the No Agenda meetups. It's where you meet the first responders in your life. You'll be able to count on them. This is where you're awkward, you're perfect. That's what the No Agenda meetups are all about. You can be yourself, because it doesn't matter where you come from. You have one thing in common. You are all members of No Agenda Nation. You're citizens of No Agenda Nation. You all have the show in common. You all have the media deconstruction in your mind. It is a perfect opportunity to meet people, to hang out with people, have a drink. It's a good reason to go to a bar. And we have some meetups. The Indie Meetup. This is from January. Always a killer.
Hello, this is Dame Maria, straight back from Amsterdam.
And this is Sir Mark Mary. The Dame Rib.
Sir Benny, through wind, snow, sleet, or hail, we're going to show up for a goddamn no agenda meeting.
In the morning, Dame Swanee.
In the morning, John and Adam, Sir PBR Street Gang. Just a reminder to everyone out there in Gitmo Nation that Indy still has the A number one meetup. Thank you.
In the morning, Dame Trinity, having a great time in Indy as always. Thank you for your courage.
Adam and John, this is Shannon visiting from Fort Wayne. And Adam, I submitted a sound sample to the Maury Povich Show, and you'll never guess the results. You are the Podfather.
Brewski here, just drinking some beers at the Blind Owl.
In the morning, John. Adam, this is Emily, and I'm over this cold.
Gary here. As of the recording, 8 more days until the third act of the movie starts. Grab your popcorn, people. This should be interesting.
In the morning, Guzman of the Midwest. Happy New World Order.
In the morning, John and Adam, this is Nick. California's going to fall into the ocean. China's going to occupy the place. And John C. Dvorak will still be like, oh, it's great. I love it here.
This is Brainy here at the Blind Owl, hanging out with this riffraff and giving them some drinks. And, having a good time.
Adios, mofos. Bye, bye, bye. Yeah, I love it when you bring in your servers. That's always fun. Thank you, Damonette, for putting that together. Now we go to Fredericksburg, Virginia for the arcade party meetup.
Hi, it's Happy in Virginia at the arcade meetup in Fredericksburg. Again, back by popular demand.
This is Roundy. I played a lot of video games here and picked up a nice virus.
Jeffrey Springfield in the morning.
Hey, this is Sir William of West Pennsylvania from Alexandria. Train's good, plane's bad, and that's it.
It's Roy from Spotsylvania, Virginia, and the beer's great.
Sir Harry Pilgrim here, the Baron of Massaponics. I realized I'm not quite the pinball wizard I used to be.
People are playing games so hard, night rings are falling off onto the floor.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Sarah from Richmond, and as always, life is a scam.
ITM, where's the due to climate change ringtone on PhoneBoy?
This is Tom Starkweather. I'm enjoying our second Reclaim Arcade meetup.
In the morning!
I got to tell you that Roundy always makes these beautiful no agenda signs, and he takes them to the meetup. Like, you know, like not just like actual letters that stand on the table. It's really cool. I wouldn't mind having one of those. It's just he's a great participant. Doesn't do any more art for us because, you know, he's getting paid for it. So it doesn't do that.
He won his couple of times, and that was
Now I got a job. I'm good to go.
I'm not going to do this anymore.
And have you ever wondered what happens if you give a world-renowned, award-winning architect, garage band, and a meetup, and a phone, and tell him, hey, put together a meetup report? Well, that's what you get from Tokyo with Sir Mark.
Hi, John and Adam. Tokyo calling. We're having a really great meetup here tonight. We have 14, 15 people from all over Japan, some visitors from the US as well. It's been really amazing. We're holding it at 10 Cups in Shibuya, really fantastic bar. And everybody wants to say hi.
Hey, guys. This is El Mexicano. This is Tokyo in the morning.
Hi, guys. And this is his wife that he punched in the mouth.
And a little human resource.
Aww. Sir 3D, Whiskey 5, India Tango Mike. I flew here from ITM Osaka Airport to check out this hui hui.
Hey, Adam and Jonsi. This is Brandon.
This is David.
This is Harold.
In the morning, John and Adam, this is Casey.
In the morning, John and Adam, this is Alexander. I've got hairy legs.
This is producer Pete in Japan. Yo, yo, come back. Come back, Adam.
In the morning, boys, this is the Sir Pursuit of Peace and Tranquility.
Okay, Adam, John, akemashite omedetou gozaimasu. Dustin desu. Kyou wa mattaku agenda arimasen node, wanshin kudasai. Yoroshiku omegaishimasu.
Hi.
Woo! Hi, Adam and John. Day Mustard here in Tokyo, where we also like the weather report. It's a beautiful starry night, and it's 7 degrees. I also like those two words, and I was waiting to get them out to you. It's unvarnished veracity, and it's so fitting to No Agenda. See ya.
Hey, I'm just in the edit, and I've realized I've lost producer Steve's clip. I'm so sorry. Anyway, we want to thank everybody for their courage for coming out tonight to the No Agenda Tokyo No Cheesecake Meetup. See you soon.
Moshi Moshi. Unvarnished veracity. That's who we are, according to Dame Astrid. I don't know. I kind of like that. You know that there's some dudes in there who said something really rank in Japanese. Yeah.
Of course. Sure. That's what you
do. That's what you do, exactly. Hey, the PSYOP seasonal meetup is underway today as we speak at Toby's Bar and Grill in Toronto. The Cow Peak No Agenda meetup of the Black Hills also underway at Crow Peak Brewing in Spearfish, South Dakota. The TMI Evac Zone Fortune Cookie meetup also underway in Evergreen Brewing, Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. You can probably still catch him. On Thursday, our next show day, the North Georgia Monthly Meetup will kick in at 6 o'clock at Cherry Street Brewing in Alpharetta, Georgia. And a special note, the Northern Silicon Valley Get John Out of the House Meetup 6.0 is taking place, I believe, on, is that February 1st, John? Are you booked for that?
I believe so, at the Mallard Club.
And you're going, right? Because people love hanging out with you. That's it. Our No Agenda Meetups. There's many more that can be found now on noagendameetups.com. Go to noagendameetups.com. You can search by location, by time, by calendar, by date. Thank you, Sir Daniel, for keeping that running, and Mimi for doing all the back office work. Soon to be taken over by AI. It's going to do all that work for us. Go to noagendameetups.com. If you can't find one near you, start one yourself.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me, triggered on hell aim. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
It always is. It is always like a party. I love hearing those reports from all over the world. It makes us sound so international. Yeah, because we are. We're international. It's not just America. It's international. People love it. So we have an ISO off. We only each have one ISO, which makes total sense. You have the carryover from last show, which I think is a good one. I will play it. I remember it. It's two guys.
These two guys are so cute.
And all I have to compete with you is this one.
It's so crazy.
Muddy.
These two guys are so cute.
That's the one we're going with. And now, of course, it's time for the only John Tip of the Day.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCD. And sometimes Adam. Created by Dana Bernetti.
So I have a, since with this theme of the, today's show seems to be AI, I'm jumping to an AI product.
Okay. Wow. Oh,
and this is a thing called hotpot.ai is the website.
Hotpot.
They can't do hotspot because that's been somebody sitting on that, but yeah. It's hotpot.ai.
Yes.
And it has a million different functions that are mostly free to use, but they have this system they want to try to make money. Sorry, I have to laugh.
Okay.
They're going to try to make money using a tokenized system, which is the way where you say, I'm going to buy X number of credits. And for this, I need 3 credits. And for that, I need 2 credits. And to do this, I got 5 credits and 6. So you buy 100 credits, you buy 1,000 credits. It's just, okay.
They've gamified it.
Good luck. But this thing does, I mean, this is the most comprehensive series of AI products I've ever seen. It'll create art. It will edit photos. It will do, it'll create posting. It could robots, posts, logos. I mean, people should look at this. It's a really fascinating.
Well, can it do the spreadsheet for us?
That's coming.
And the meetup calendar, all that can be done?
Yeah, all that's coming.
Huh.
It also do stuff that, you know, these phones have these things like remove someone from a picture. It'll do that rather effortlessly. It'll change backgrounds. It's actually pretty powerful. It's something people should play with.
Can it code?
And our AI experts, I'd like to get some feedback from
them. Can it code?
No, this doesn't code.
It doesn't code. And what's it called again, just so we can put it in the right
hot website? Pot, as in the, you know, the Chinese dish.
Yes, hotpot.
Hotpot.ai.
Hotpot.ai. That, ladies and gentlemen, is your tip of the day. The one and only John C. Dvorak delivers it to you every single show.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCD. And sometimes Adam.
Created by Dana Bernetti.
Yes, thank you very much, Dana Bernetti, for creating it. What would we do without Dana Brunetti? We'd be lost. There'd be almost no show, I'm telling you. Hey, that's it for today. Too long. We delivered the value. We'd love for you to consider sending some value back. We're not just doing it for our health, you know. Or maybe we are. Coming up next.
We are doing it for our health.
For our mental health. That's right.
Yeah, our mental health, and we're doing good work.
And soon we can just take Ozempic and not have to do this for our mental health. It's going to be great. And for our ED. It's fantastic. Coming to you. Wait, before I say that, we have up next on the stream at trollroom.io, the modern podcast apps, and noagenda.stream. Podcasting 2.0. It's the weekly board meeting with me and Dave Jones. It's the booby trap where Dave needs help. He's a cry for help, so you better listen to it if you're a developer. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I remain, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Remember us at noagendadonations.com and enjoy a classic end-of-show mix about immigration in the classroom and Jan Willem Nafis with a Ritter. Until then, adios, mofos, a hooey-hooey, and such.
Hey, hi, hello, hi, hoy, it's Mark Rutte here. Hello, hey, hi, how's it go?
I'm sure you know I'm now the boss from the NATO. That's not for nothing to say so. After years of searching, I'm the only one they know that can slow the orange man or say bro. Ho! NATO, NATO, NATO. Don't call me Rudy, call me Mark, and let me show that if you also don't like singing war, play safe and let NATO in your cookie jar. You know, a Frenchman says not NATO but OTAN. It's same, just in derriere spoken. Let me explain to you how to pronounce it as a pro. If you say origami sensation Atlantique, then no. All macarons know that not cheese, but peace is what about it goes.
Those kids are alone. They are in cages. They are given peanut butter on tortillas. They're given frozen sandwiches that still have ice in them. Is that the kind of environment you would want your kid to be in?
We don't need no immigration. We don't need no border patrol. No peanut butter enchilada. Don't leave the kids alone.
Hey! Leave the kids alone!
All in all, it's all for funding your wall. All in all, it's all for funding the wall.
With peanut butter, and some of them were out of the fridge, they still had ice on them. It's just despicable to this woman. It's just the whole idea. Meanwhile, I don't know if she has kids, but she's probably feeding them mac and cheese.
If they see any weakness, they will come by the millions. They will come by the million. If they see any weakness,
zero tolerance for criminal aliens. Zero. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. I will build the great wall.
Bringing crime on our southern border,
rapists.
And I will have Mexico pay for that.
Adios, mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
These two guys are so cute.